You kids and your fancy M2 SSDs and your PlayStation 5s and your always-on wireless connections. Back in my day, we had to run a cable from the kitchen to the living room, wait 30 seconds for a modem to dial, prevent anyone from being able to use the phone, and suffer the consequences if someone tried to. And we liked it! This is your Old Man Yells a Cloud update. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you about this Millennium's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is another edition of Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode number 878 for this August the 1st of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joining you, as always, with my co-hosts. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Okay. It's been a busy day. I was woken up by the sounds of the neighbors running power tools. Delightful.
Oh, boy. You got to love power tools. Love to hate them, that is.
I wanted to use the power tools on somebody's head.
I have to go right to our chat room tonight because She-Hulk 10 is in there in chat, and we love seeing She-Hulk every week. But with this comment that I actually didn't realize, saying "Woohoo, MTV is 40," and that's right, that would be right. They start MTV. Not that I questioned She-Hulk's trivia, but I had that realization of like, oh my gosh, that's right, because MTV started 1981 August 1st,
and I watched it. When it aired.
I don't think we had it on our cable.
We had cable at the time.
Yeah.
And they were doing like some deal where you got MTV like with your package. Okay. I barely remember this. Mind you, I was like 5.
Yes, I would have been 3. So maybe I just am too young to remember it.
But I remember my uncle, I think, turning it on to see what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the first music video that they played.
Which, of course, was Video Killed the Radio
Star. Video Killed the Radio Star. So what are we going to have now? Internet TV Killed Video?
I think somebody made that song. Like, Internet Killed the Video Star or something. I think that was a thing. It might have been a parody or something. Maybe one of those songs that we used to play on the old network. But
one of those songs they always attribute to Weird Al that he didn't do.
Yeah, yes. Like a mislabeled Napster file. Yes, one of those.
Right. Oh, he still jokes about that, apparently.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, I distinctly remember that.
Why wouldn't they celebrate this they should celebrate this with Al TV.
Yes, they should. I remember Al TV. I distinctly remember that special. I think my dad thought he was funny, and I thought he was funny too. But I definitely remember that video. I remember seeing that video on MTV. That Video Killed the Radio Star. Because I mean, in the very beginning of MTV, the first few weeks there were only like 9 music videos at all. It wasn't until much later that everybody that caught fire that all these other record labels started doing more videos.
I always remember Martha Quinn
mm-hmm.
and Kennedy later on.
Oh, yeah. I remember Kennedy. I talked to Kennedy once on a radio thing years and years and years ago. I was in high school.
I used to religiously watch Remote Control.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
That was my jam.
Yeah.
And then... you know, it's what gave us Liquid Television,
mm-hmm.
which was something I still kind of miss. There was another show that was on very briefly called The Idiot Box, and it had Alex Winter as the host.
Okay.
And I think they only aired like all of 2 episodes, but at the time I was kind of a fangirl of Alex Winter. So I watched it. I mean, I thought it was pretty funny, but there's also another show that I think turned into The Kids in the Hall.
I don't think The Kids in the Hall started on MTV, but you might be thinking of The State.
One I'm thinking of, The State.
Yeah, The State was a different group. But a lot of those people went on to Reno 911. Same people are from The State.
I just remember the guy whose catchphrase is, "I want to stick my balls in it," and he'd carry around these little balls.
Okay. Believe it or not, we are a video game podcast, but look, the chat room is lighting up about MTV memories. So you know what? I'll indulge it. And to be remote control had an NES game. that was awesome, mm-hmm. and I loved it because I also loved that show. That was my lifelong dream, was to be the game show host of that show. It might still be. So fifth dream in our
chat. I remember Colin Quinn on that show, too.
Yes. We do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, right after the Bobby Blackwell show. And you guys can chat along with our show, which fifth dream is saying some of those weird channel services like Pluto TV has a 24-hour pop-up video station. Now, pop-up video, of course, is a VH1 thing, but very closely related.
It's also owned by MTV.
But yeah, it's all MTV. And I thought that was all part of Paramount. All the MTV shows are on Paramount Plus now. So I'm kind of surprised it's on Pluto. But actually, now that I'm saying it out loud, I think Pluto is also a Viacom thing. It's just a very different thing. But that Pluto TV app is on your PlayStation. It's on your
Xbox. I've never heard of it.
It's one of those. This is a weird niche thing now. There's like three of them, these free TV apps. It's like old, like it's basically commercially supported old ass movies, like Netflix. So you don't have to pay a monthly fee for it. Or they also have like live TV, and they have very niche TV stations. There was one station on there that played nothing but RuPaul's Drag Race all day long. Just Drag Race Marathon 24. I think they finally pulled it. I don't know why, but they did. But there was a Survivor one, too. And there's all sorts. There's a Uncensored Hell's Kitchen, I think, is on that same one. So anyway.
Well, there's also Getting Me to Sit Down and Watch TV, which it doesn't happen unless it's Drag Race or Jessica Jones.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about turning on the TV and having that background noise while you're folding laundry or whatever it is. You know, sometimes you
That's what YouTube's for.
Yeah, I think a lot, you know, but I think these like Pluto TV and the et cetera, I can't remember the names of the other ones. It's Tubi might be another one. I can't remember. Sorry, guys. That kind of can also fill that with extremely niche things, kind of like how YouTube can do. You're absolutely right with that. And Pod Culture saying Pluto had a Doctor Who channel, The Next Generation. You're right. I think there's like a Star Trek channel on there. Absolutely. Yes, and the old school Nickelodeon channel is on one of those.
As long as that showed the Tomorrow People, I'd be interested.
It might. Look it up. I want to see what else was.
What if there was like old British sci-fi, like it played like Blake 7 or something?
Honestly, it probably exists somewhere. It might not be on that same app, but I bet that of course, that's a niche that somebody, you know who to ask? Our friends over at British Invaders. They would know. you need to send our pals over there an email about that. Bobby Blackwolf, speaking of an event where I sometimes see our friend, or at least one of our friends from British Invaders, Bobby Blackwolf says, our Dragon Con panel is called Video Didn't Kill the Podcast Star. So that's right. There's a panel. We're doing it again this year, but we've done it at least one other year, maybe two. That it's kind of about our transition from doing a long-running podcast to the video format. So you're right. That name is kind of a little play on that as well. So it's pretty fun. So anyway, I should also mention, because you might be wondering, not joining us tonight is Techmaster Loki. You might be like, where's Loki go? He had a family obligation. It happens sometimes. So he's just not here tonight, but he'll be back next week. So it happens. Sometimes we get to take a night off. So Loki has the night off, but he'll be back next week. So it's just Dark Sakura and I feeling the love. So tonight's the night. It's just going to be the Dead by Daylight show. Y'all ready?
I'm still working on that, too. I need a co-host.
maybe we'll indulge a little bit tonight, because without Matt here, we kind of have a shorter list of stories. That, and I think it just kind of generally was there's some big things we need to talk about, but the whole scope of things was a bit of a slower news week, and I think that's just, you know, summer still being in full swing and all of that stuff happening.
How it is.
What's that?
Yeah. I said that's just how it is.
Yeah, it's just how it is right now. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf with a very good point saying, thanks to data caps, I'll never have a streaming channel on that I wasn't actively watching. That's a very good point. I don't watch a lot of the streaming stuff, but I'll watch it here and there. But Twitch is a lot of my background stuff, too. Like, yeah. I'll put on, you know, a streamer that I like, and I've found a lot in the last few months ever since Alan got me into frickin' Dead by Daylight, you know, and I kind of found that whole community. And Dark Soccer, I know this hits home for you, too, is it's like,
I don't know how I got so deep with these people.
There's just endless amounts of content out there with all of that,
Well, and it's like, now, it's like, you know, I never, ever expected that when I go into one of the bigger guys' chat rooms that I'd get a, oh, hi, welcome in. I'm glad that you made it to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, are we friends? This is great. Are we friends?
Which is interesting, Jamie, because to pretty much, you know, a lot of people that are here on Sunday night, you are a rock star and have been for many, many, many years. So to be acknowledged by you for a lot of people here, and I'm not trying to completely gaslight you here, but I think this is like one of those, like, you know, in these parts, when Senpai notices them, there's a lot of people that are very happy. So it's just it's neat that there are other people.
I notice all of you chatters.
Yes. So Senpai noticed you.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny. I'm working on, and this is just like a little aside, I'm working on some bit redeems for my channel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like cheap stuff, right? And one of them is Senpai noticed me.
That's cute. I like that. I like the release. I'm having, like, I don't stream a lot on my personal channel. You know, I keep saying I need to do it more, but it's hard when Alan and I are sharing that space, and especially in the summer when it gets really hot. But I think about those types of things and what to do for those redeems. And I do like the streamers that have these really cute, like, short little things that they do. Like, mm-hmm. one streamer that I watch a lot does a little thing where he'll just go boop, and that's it. That's, like, basically what you're redeeming.
Yeah.
And there's it's Nick, yeah.
Nick, yeah.
There's another one that'll get up. I was watching yesterday, one that Alan watches a lot, that'll just get up and hug. It's like, just stand up and do a hug.
I
thought it was cute. There's some really
Laurie
cute
Bird
things.
Does the vocoder singing.
Oh, that's cute.
That like is that. Really cute. But no, I've learned a lot, actually, just in playing Dead by Daylight and about the stream setups and everything from just watching other people and talking to them. I'm still behind on quite a few things because I game on a Mac, mm-hmm. you know, they're like, I can't run like Chatbot. I have to run Cloudbot, you know, and I've figured some stuff out. I can't do some of the games, and Slabs is garbage. Slobs, I'm sorry. Well, by garbage, I mean, it doesn't see my Stadia window, and I do most of my gaming through Stadia,
right?
Which, because of you. I think it was you that suggested that I start putting Stadia in my tags when I go live.
Yes.
I have met other Stadia Dead by Daylight players. I am no longer alone in the world.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, that was me. I remember suggesting that because I said, you're a special snowflake in the Stadia thing. And I will say this. I didn't think it would be other Dead by Daylight. I thought it would just be Stadia enthusiasts in
general. There were a couple that were just Stadia, but a couple were also Dead by Daylight.
Huh. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So other people are familiar with Miss Debbie.
I do find that I have good luck with the growth of my channel when I try not to stream one thing. Like, I don't get a lot of new followers when I play Final Fantasy XIV because I always play Final Fantasy XIV. But, like, mm-hmm. one of the best nights I got a lot of new followers was when I did No Man's Sky out of the blue for the first time. I got mm-hmm. people that watch a lot of No Man's Sky where it's like, oh, this is a new name. Who's this doing this? And I know this happens to Alan started playing his music games on Monday nights. And he gets a lot, like, that spin rhythm. He just randomly started playing on Steam. Apparently has a rabid fan community behind it, because when he streams that game, he gets all these new people that show up that will mm-hmm. that are looking for that game particularly, and all the mods behind it and everything. So it is interesting how I find that mixing that up does kind of let you get seen by more people because your keywords change, right? So
when I beat Fantasian, because mm-hmm. I'm getting close to that.
Oh, I bet.
I need to think of something new for Tuesday Fantasy Zone. So maybe I'll do Hotful Boyfriend again, or maybe I'll find something else. Who knows? Anyone has suggestions.
Do you want my honest suggestion live on air, even though you know what, you didn't ask for it?
Sure.
To me, Dark Soccer, you, and chat room, feel free to agree, disagree. To me, Dark Soccer, you're the queen of retro gaming. It's one of the huge things that, like, you bring to the show, your knowledge, your depth, your fandom for these sometimes downright obscure things that not the rest of us really, like, know a lot about. Like, I am surprised you don't stream more retro game. I realize the setup, you don't have the right capture stuff for that setup, but I would almost say just cheat and use emulators. Because
I can emulate it, yeah.
Chances are you own it. So you're not really breaking the rules.
Like, I might try to dig up, see if there's a version of Magic Engine that runs and play through one of those translated, like, Rondo of Blood or something.
Yeah.
The old school one.
I think that would be fun. Yeah.
of course, it's just going to be me playing as Maria with her terrible singing. La 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 la.
But there's a lot of people that have probably never even seen it. So, you know.
There was a Castlevania collection, though. It had it on there.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Although I actually do kind of want to play. I've also been thinking about maybe playing Jockey Crush, which is in the Devil's Crush family. It was a SNES one that came out.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Wow, that would be awesome. Yeah, Mike Deft in chat says, at this point, I don't think most people will care if you use emulators. No, and especially if it's like the stepping stone to, you know, going, okay, there is interest in this, and now maybe I will make that investment in whatever capture card I need to hook up the old Saturn or whatever it is. I think that, you know, might be a way to do it. So
that'd be great if I can do Saturn emulation on my Mac. That would be awesome.
Yeah, so anyway. Food for thought. All right, we're several minutes into the show and we haven't even gotten to the kickoff topic. But that's what happens when Loki isn't here to mediate us. We will just talk about whatever we want. No,
I just picture his flat stare while we're jabbering and him going,
Who am I kidding? He's going to get off topic just as much. So that's part of the charm here at Orange Lounge Radio. It is what it is. All right, let's get into our kickoff topic tonight. Actually, we kind of have a, you know, this is 878 episodes of Orange Lounge Radio. We've been doing the format with the kickoff topic at least as long as we've been on Twitch, if not longer. This doesn't happen a lot where the same thing needs to be talked about at the top of the show 2 weeks in a row. Sometimes, but not a lot. We're in that position tonight because this is a very important shift in the industry that's happening right now. This is a very important reckoning for the industry. And you notice I'm not saying one company. I'm saying the industry. That is playing out through one company right now. But Dark Soccer, if you don't mind, I will let you take it from here.
Oh, yeah. So on this past Wednesday, hundreds of Activision Blizzard employees walked out. And this was after the lawsuit and Blizzard's rather dismissive release on terms. You know, they're, oh, we're sorry, but blah, blah, blah. You don't say, I'm sorry, but you say, I'm sorry, and don't do the shit again. So at any rate, there was a walkout where they rallied in front of the Blizzard headquarters in Irvine to protest their response to the discrimination and sexual harassment lawsuit. It was attended by more than 350 people. There were some signs out. One of them said "Nerf male privilege." another one said "Unaccountable corporate bureaucrats are driving the best employees out of Activision Blizzard." The walkout started at 10 a.m. Pacific and ended at 2 p.m. Also, other companies were supporting the employees and actually sent food trucks out and catered and brought porta potties.
Oh, I hadn't heard of that. Interesting.
Yeah, people were driving by and honking in support. And there were people that spoke out about it, but they wanted an anonymity for fear of retribution from the company. So, and then, of course, on social media, there was... of course, a call to not cross the virtual picket line by playing their games. That's including Overwatch, World of Warcraft, Call of Duty. And honestly, I don't think I have played an Activision Blizzard game since the deal with the Chinese gamer, with the Free Hong Kong. But yeah, I am completely... With this kind of behavior, I don't care how much you love a game, you know, this is something, this gross behavior. I mean, they say that boycotts don't really do a lot, but I think the walkout will do quite a bit. And I do think that people making an active and vocal choice not to put their money into the company, while it may not be financially effective, I think it will be effective in terms of commentary. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I think the good thing about the walkout, especially too, was something we were talking about last week about how, you know, this is not a every Blizzard and Activision employee problem. In fact, there are a lot of fantastic people working for Activision Blizzard who are sick and tired of this crap as well. And I think that Walkout really sort of personified that, and I think helped a lot of people out there who maybe hadn't gotten to that point yet really see that this is not an issue of all the employees at Activision Blizzard. This is a management issue.
I'm going to make a more extreme comparison, though.
Okay.
And there were a lot of people that didn't vote in the 2016 election.
Right.
Were they good people? Because they partly enabled you-know-who.
Debatable.
My point stands.
Every scenario is different, right? So
there are good people that do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they're doing something now that they feel empowered to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But there needs to be a degree of fearlessness when it comes to confronting any sort of abusive and oppressive behavior.
Right.
You know, at some point it becomes damn the consequences.
Right. And I think that's where you kind of see the industry sort of inching closer and closer to probably some type of unionization, or at least maybe like some type of like representation where there's like a legal defense sort of thing for the, you know, because you just said it a minute ago, is that there were some people speaking out with anonymity because they feared repercussions. So that whole thing is still a very valid threat looming for a lot of people. And we all know that shouldn't exist. That shouldn't, in a perfect world, that shouldn't exist. Unfortunately, you know, some people really still feel it does. So at least there needs to be that banding of employees. You know, I think it ought to just be a union, but if at least let's take those baby steps in that direction of some type of like legal defense, a wall together that, you know, we are able to speak out when we see these things without repercussion. And maybe
there is more.
Sorry, real quick, maybe that's something that we go to our government, and I harped on this a lot last week, where we applaud the government making these changes in the right direction and taking this action that they took. Sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
Well, I was saying that there were Ubisoft employees also who decided to step up in light of this. And there is there was an open letter in solidarity with Activision Blizzard employees, and they sent it to their CEO, Yves Guillemot. It is clear from the frequency of these reports that there is a widespread and deeply ingrained culture of abusive behavior within the industry. It should no longer be a surprise to anyone, employees, executives, journalists, or fans, that these heinous acts are going on. And it called for the employees of Ubisoft, Blizzard, other leaders in the industry to get together and, quote, agree to a set of rules and processes for handling reports of these offenses.
Bingo.
The company shouldn't be doing this. This is going to require a bigger touch. And then there was another employee of Blizzard, Sabrina Brogan, who informed the Activision Blizzard King Women's Network that she was going to step down as the network's Europe, Middle East, and Africa lead after seeing this email from Blizzard's chief compliance officer, Frances Townsend.
Oh, we got to talk about her. She got to go. She's got to go.
Where the lawsuit was called a distorted and untrue picture of our company. And the reason why Sabrina stepped down is because Townsend is also the executive sponsor for the Women's Network. And so she resigned, Brogan resigned. And she put out the message saying, I am ashamed I am working for this company.
Fran Townsend, by the way, if you look at her Twitter account, at Fran Townsend, made a tweet on July 30th. So this was not an old thing dug up to use against her now. July 30th of this year, so 2 days ago. She tags two people and puts, and the problem with whistleblowing by The Atlantic, and links to an article titled, The New Moral Code of America's Elite. So she tweets an article about the problem with whistleblowers.
Mm.
She's she needs to, and this is odd.
She's corporate garbage.
I should be saying we need to uplift women. We need to, you know, have more women in these types of positions and so forth. But unfortunately, gang, not this one.
My tweet to her was, "You are the problem."
Bobby Blackwolf points out, if you can look at her Twitter account, she's blocking everyone, including her fellow coworkers. She needs to pack her boxes and leave, as a lot of people do at Activision Blizzard in the management district.
Honestly, I'm surprised that people aren't actually actively reporting her account.
Anyway, yeah. Mm. Some folks in chat, SG100 Matt says, yeah, she has to go. Terrible lady. Yeah. And I think it's an example of, you can still, you know, actively be working against, the, you know, group that is, you're a part of, that you're supposed to be uplifting. SG100 Matt says she also sent that company wide email shaming people for whistleblowing. Even Bobby Kotick criticized her stance. Bobby Kotick replied to this whole thing. It took him a few days. I don't want to compliment it, but I will say this. At least he outlined some steps. I'm not sure they were the right steps overall, especially when you consider some of the companies they're saying they're working with. So, again, I'm going to be very careful how much of a gold star I'm going to give. I'm giving one gold piece of glitter for at least this actually says, here are some actionable steps we're going to take. Which is
it looks
more
like she
than
might have taken down that post.
No, I'm looking at it right
Unless
now on
I'm
my phone.
The wrong day.
Unless she did it between the time the show started and now, which is certainly possible because I'm sure she's getting a lot of shit for it. But I will screenshot that bad boy and I'm going to send it to my friend Dark Sakura. And I'm going to
I just
that
blocked her.
Okay. Now you'll never find it. All right. Well, there you go.
Well, you sent me a screenshot, so
true.
That's
true.
Different.
You're right, I did.
Screenshots are forever.
Yeah.
Oh, what a...
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. What a cunt. Seriously.
All right. We'll just leave it at that. Anyway, anything else you want to mention or chat wants to mention about this ongoing story?
Well, I was looking at just some of the stuff about Kotick's letter, mm-hmm. and I like this quote from it says, "While we are pleased to see that our collective voices have convinced leadership to change the tone of their communications, this response fails to address critical elements at the heart of employee concerns." That's the crux of it.
Yeah, that's why I gave a gold piece of glitter.
Yeah,
just one tiny little gold thing. But there are other parts of it, such as, and his chat points out, Mike Def saying, granted, Bobby Kotick also brought the anti-union firm to Actibliz. That's why I'm going to refrain from giving a gold star or anything further.
Yeah.
But one piece of gold glitter. I mean, hey, you know what?
He gets a star drawn in gold jelly ink cardboard.
You know what? You know what they say? A broken clock is right twice a day. And I think in some of these scenarios, it's like, okay, congrats. Yay. You did it. You were right today. Congrats.
Like, thanks, like, Captain Obvious.
You should at least call that out because, you know.
What we need, and I understand some of my audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need fewer male voices in the industry. We need the men to stop talking about it and listen to the women talk about it.
I would agree in the sense of that all the decision makers should not be men, period. We need more diversity in management, period.
Well, I'm just saying, though, that instead of spotlighting, you know, these men in upper management who, I mean, I would grant that many of them are probably just saying what needs to be heard to stay, you know, profitable. I'm going to say it. But I think that we need to hear more of the people that's experienced it. We need to hear from the women who have been fired or abused. We need to hear their voices and need to listen to them.
Critical Myth in chat says these companies need a flush of upper management at the very least.
And need to be flushed down the toilet.
That's my. It's weird to say, but my hope is that storm's a coming.
Oh, it is.
That's my hope. Not that any of this is good news. I mean, if we look at the Activision Blizzard and the complaints, a woman died. Like, that's a woman died because of these
experiences. It's even worse.
Experience.
She apparently took her life.
Yeah.
And over this.
So there's no good news here. But if there's something that you can go, maybe change will happen this time.
Well, and then there was that whole post about on The Verge about the Cosby suite.
Oh, yeah. That's so...
That when I just seeing the picture. So I'm going to tell you something about autism, okay? Sometimes it's possible to feel so much emotion that all of them shut off. I don't get like that very, very often. I was like that. I could not feel anything. And I couldn't talk for a while because it angered and frustrated me so much that my feelings just shut completely down. I shut down.
Yeah.
That's how mad I got.
Somebody else in chat, I forgot who, said I couldn't even finish the article, said that in chat. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of people definitely feeling some sort of way from that article. It was gross.
It's absolutely disgusting. And now, all of those faces in there, I want every last one of those people identified and made public.
I think that's already happened.
Good.
Now, because one of them works at Riot now. One of them was Ghostcrawler, and he's at Riot now and had to put out this whole letter that he sent to his Riot folks saying, hey, this article came out, and I want to apologize for this, and kind of set his stance. But it's one of those things where it's like...
Apologize because he got caught?
It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, even if it is from 2013 or whatever, 8 years ago or something, there's just not a lot that can be said to justify it. Like... And here's the thing, and I just to put it out there, I have heard the whole, well, that picture was from 2013 and the Bill Cosby stuff didn't come out till 2015, but I think to go that route sort of misses the overarching point. And let's go back to that lawsuit. We're going to go back to that lawsuit. Why did Activision Blizzard get slapped on the wrist by the state in the first place? It was that frat boy culture. And what do I see when I hear about the luxury suite where all the male employees go to drink once BlizzCon is over? What is that? No matter what it's called. That's frat boy culture.
That absolutely is. Well, and SSJ 100 Matt basically does make a point. Many female voices like... Okay, so Jade Raymond gets spotlit constantly, but many female voices like her get death threats and harassed so much. It's a culture problem that needs to be fixed. I don't know how to fix it other than giving more to uplift those voices and hold people accountable. And that's exactly it. But the thing is that if enough people raise their voice, if enough people step out, they can't stop all of us.
That's 100% it. And this is what you, because I don't think anybody here does that garbage. If you do, all I have to say is that you're in the wrong place, or you need to change your behavior immediately, period. But I think what we all can do, all of us here at OLR, VOG, all of us decent people in the gaming industry, of which there are more of us than the other side, trust. What we have to do, even though it is uncomfortable sometimes, we have to stop giving our passive approval to those sorts of comments directed at Jade Raymond and women, et cetera, by saying nothing.
Speak up and call out.
You have to speak up. You have to call out. Exactly it. And I'm not saying sit down and shut up just because they are a woman. You are able to be critical of women when they do, you know, such as... what's her name that I just said ought to get fired? Fran Townsend. Okay.
Yeah.
When there is a, but notice I'm not sitting here going, you know, F that B, even though I kind of feel that way. So, but you know what I mean? Like
I said
like
it.
There, I know, but there's more substance behind it. you have a reason to be able to say that is not just she's a woman and therefore she should be in the kitchen and baby, whatever, all the bullshit.
No, what she
say.
Needs to do is be in a dungeon, just saying, and not even the fun kind.
Anyhow. Mike Deft in chat says everything about that room is horrible, talking about the Cosby Suite. Sorry, go ahead.
But I mean, maybe we should make this a campaign. You know, the speak up and call out. Maybe that should be like a campaign or something that we start and spread around. We make it a thing. I think if every one of us goes out, you know, even the people listening right now, the people listening to the recording afterwards through the podcast, if everyone just stops and calls for it, you know, the word could spread. You know, call for it, ask other people to call for it, step out, you know, step up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing changes until you make it change.
Right.
And if you just sit there on your ass going, oh, I agree, her, and don't do shit, guess what you get for it? You get shit.
Yeah, nothing. If you don't change, you're always going to get the same result. And this is a theme you're hearing amongst lots of things the past couple years, because it's that whole talk about we need the folks in the position of privilege to be able to speak out, right? So to use an analogy to talk about something directly where this applies in another place. So when we talk about Black Lives Matter, right? Then mm-hmm. if I believe that Black Lives Matter, and I do, and I want to, you know, support, you know, all of the my friends that are black and everything, then I need to, when I hear two white people telling a black joke, I have to step up, which thank God I haven't heard that in a long time. But, you know, in my life, years and years ago, especially in the high school days, those are the types of shitty things I would hear sometimes. And so I have to be able to speak up and say, that's not funny. Like, have you looked at the calendar? It's 2021.
Yeah, right.
Why did you think that it was okay to say that joke in front of me? And if I'm not able to have that uncomfortable conversation, nothing's going to change. And that's it. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with LGBT, et cetera. If I'm sure there are people that have told gay jokes about me behind my back, and my true friends are the ones that stick up and say, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm actually making my post about it right now so that, you know, I can hopefully get it started. I really think that we need to have more said about it. So, yeah.
S. Joan Hunter Matt in chat says, did you see there was that other story about the pregnant woman who management refused to give her time to see the doctor when she was having complications? I forgot what Activision Blizzard's response was to it, but it made my blood boil. Well, those are the types of issues where that's why the state is getting involved with a lawsuit now, because that type of stuff is straight up against the law. And that's why you're seeing that being leveraged. So, unfortunately, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Cosby Suite and all that stuff, I mean, we can look at it and go, that's pretty fucked up, but there's nothing the state of California can really do about it. They're not breaking the law, per se, unless something illegal goes on in that suite. They're not breaking the law. This, the SJ100 Matt point out, that was breaking the law. That's discrimination against somebody because they're pregnant, and that is that's certainly against the law in California, if not at the federal level, which I'm pretty sure it is. That's basically a form of sexual harassment, long story short. So that is why Activision Blizzard is in trouble with the state of California. It's now, among other things, please don't get me wrong, but it's just these other things that are now kind of playing into it alongside of that. That's, you know, making it a moment of reckoning for the whole industry for sure. Sia Tabiri in chat says, a few months ago, someone I knew in high school messaged me and told me he was always amazed at how well I dealt with stuff in high school. And apparently I had blocked out a lot, or I was not aware of a lot of bullying, harassment, bad stuff that went on behind my back. I don't know if this is like too raw for me to get into on a video game podcast, but all I can say is that, like, I really feel that comment. because there are definitely a lot of parts of high school, especially junior high school, that I straight up have blacked out. Like, I look back on certain memories. I actually think some of that plays into the memory issues I have ongoing today. Because I have...
That's how PTSD works, Rob.
Well, then, guess what? I mean, we're not going to diagnose those sorts of things on the show, but...
I can tell you this is someone who has PTSD. Yes,
if you want to go that direction, then perhaps. But all I can say is that, you know, that type of stuff and the associated traumas and stuff left me to this place where now I have a hard time remembering a lot of things. And I think some of that plays into it for sure. Absolutely. Now, the good news is video games were oftentimes my escape from all of that, to be quite honest. Because video games were an awesome story. Video games where I could escape a lot of that and get into a world where, you know, I wasn't being threatened with violence and called names. But anyway, we won't get into that. SJ100 Matt says, yeah, I've blocked out a lot of high school as well. I remember the worst things, but not a lot of stuff in between. It's interesting because I always get asked, are you going to go to your high school reunion? And I'm always like, I can think of nothing in this world I want to do less.
Well, my high school, honestly, once I stopped giving a shit and punched that one girl in the nose, no one gave me a problem anymore. I've blocked out most of my home life. And it was for being... a woman or, you know, a girl at the time that dared to speak up, to call her stepdad a sexist asshole, to question everything, to be weird, you know. I got it more at home than I did at school. And that is, I'm not going to go into a lot of that because it really is, a lot of it is super personal. But you need, we really need to make, and this is actually going back to the Activision Blizzard thing. We need to make safe spaces for people so that they can speak up, and not just to speak up, but to have a fucking break.
I think we need to recognize there's a lot of people who very clearly have been through some trauma in the gaming industry, and they need that type of space. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I go back to my high school reunion to get all the apologies. You know, it's I get that comment. I do. From my perspective, I'm just kind of like, it's weird. I literally do not care about a lot of those people. And there are some people from high school that are very cool. I keep in touch with on Facebook and stuff like that. I don't want to make it sound like every single person in high school was a dick. No, there was a lot of them. But like it's hard to explain. Like I as far as like the people who bullied me and stuff, do I want to go and like a big Romy and Michelle high school reunion sort of thing and show them all up and all that? No, I don't know an easy way to put it. I don't care if those people are dead. I don't care if those people are millionaires.
They don't exist in your universe.
They don't exist to me. Exactly. I have had to block them out and cut them out like little like dolls or something. I do not care about these people.
Yeah, I followed a few on Facebook, but I was like, your lives are boring. You're boring. You said you had all of this, just all of these, you know, dreams that you had and career stuff that you wanted to do. And I'm talking mostly about the girls I knew, right? And, you know, and I'm not putting this down as a choice, mind you. But, like, they got married young and had lots of kids. And now they're a Christian mom. And I'm like, you're fucking boring. You stopped defining your life by your terms and did it by the terms of other people. And, I think we're getting off topic.
It's fine. It's fine. There's a lot of... See what these stories bring out, though? It is a lot to unpack. And I think that's why there's a lot of people reacting to this, you know, and maybe they're not even involved with it directly, but it's kind of like you were saying and our chat person was saying. I see stuff like that Cosby Suite thing, and I don't know what you want to call it. I disassociate. Everybody responds different ways to it. I float out of my body. I can't see it. Yeah.
It stops existing.
Yep. Anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened when my emotions shut down. I had to basically wipe it before I could think or feel again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, let's go on to happier topics. Video games, they're great, and escapism, and because of them, we all met each other. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. And I've been playing a lot, but I'll start with you, Dark Saga.
I killed a bunch of people.
Woohoo!
In Dead by Daylight.
They deserve
I don't
it.
Know what it has been, but it's either complete fail with the shittiest of survivors, like, and by shitty, I mean just like salty little tryhards. Or it's been really engaging matches that have been fun to play and that I've won. And, Rob, a miracle happened.
You got a 4K?
A miracle. No, I've gotten several 4Ks since my first one. I stopped counting them.
I don't know what else to chalk up there with Dead by Daylight. What?
The miracle is a 3K on Haddonfield.
Oh, okay, okay.
With Pig.
All right.
Haddonfield a 3K.
Sucks. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the one who won was a David named Bear, and he wasn't shirtless, so his name didn't fit him. Anyway, you have to have shirtless David. I'm sorry. That's just what you have to do. I also have played Mandalorian, finally. It's pretty fun. It's got a shaker motor in it, and ours shakes a lot, but I kind of don't hate it. The modes in it are really fun. It's got great sound. I'm going to put this out here. I do not care for Grogu. I'm tired of seeing Grogu every fucking where. And I hate that there's a big fucking massive one in my game. They could have just like made a little one in the little pod somewhere and not have this big thing staring at me.
Are you gonna,
I'm sorry, he looks like a booger.
Are you going to open up the cabinet and put a little paper bag over his face?
I might... On, but he's not as, he doesn't offend me as much as the head in Funhouse.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That thing is scary.
Yeah. I'm perfectly fine with the skull and no fear because that was Steve Ritchie doing its voice. That was fine. But I love when I'm playing of listening to the music. And Bobby makes a good point. He doesn't move. And I love that.
So you know he's not going anywhere.
All right, Brad, his name is not fucking Baby Yoda, and that pisses me off more than the character's existence. Just saying. It's not even fucking funny. So yeah, I played that, but what I love is that the overall theme song plays, and the sound effects and the videos that play, they go quite well with the various modes in the game, you know? I absolutely love it. I'm glad that we traded Monster Bash for it. I didn't care for Monster Bash that much. The kind of B-movie monster theme never really just sat with me. Bobby, it was probably me, from 3,000 miles away with my mind.
It's wild
to
me.
The spotlight that shines on the child fell out of my cab. Now I see it was Dark Soccer's doing.
Which also means Dark Soccer, you can remove it without ruining the game. It is wild to me that you and Bobby have the same pinball machine now. It's just, I don't know why.
Well, and mine just happened.
Yeah. He was talking about it on his show tonight and was showing a B-roll of putting it together and all this. Well, you know, as much as you'd like put together one of those things, but kind of like showing the ins and outs of it. It was neat. I certainly encourage his archive broadcast to you guys to check out the machine and putting it all together.
Mike says I have the Forest and I do.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that you guys have the same thing. It's just wild.
Well, also I put up a TikTok earlier of after my game, basically showing in general what it looks like in my garage. And I'm going to go ahead and bring this up. So since I'm doing Gish this month, the Great International Scavenger Hunt, actually this week, one of our challenges is to have a Mandalorian crossing guard. And I was just thinking of putting a big stop sign on top of my pinball and submitting that as a joke.
There you go.
I don't know if it would count.
All right.
But yeah. It's really, It's really fun. It was worth it. I mean, we weren't going to buy it at first, and since the trade happened, we're just completely down for it. And yeah, so we have the Pro Edition.
Cool. One day I'll have a pinball machine. One day, but
oh, and I'm also still playing Wordscapes because I'm addicted to words and spelling and all of that stuff, and of course Fantasian. Mm-hmm. I finally got my team. I'm playing with the guy team right now. So they're all leveled, and I beat the intermediary boss, who you think is the main bad guy that isn't. I've been calling him Robot Vincent because he kind of has like that style of Vincent from Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
Actually, I've been calling him Vomcent too because his name is Vom. But yeah, I've had a great time with that game, and getting on to bit further on to the end of the game, and so I'm again trying to think of what I'm going to do when Fantasian is over. But there is going to be a Fantasian 2, so I'm looking forward to that eventually coming out on Apple Arcade.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Rob, I think you would enjoy it. It's really fun.
I need to play it at some point.
It's pretty
easy. There's a lot of games I'm juggling, that's all. I'll get around to it.
The general fighting and navigating through the game is pretty easy, but those boss battles, they require some planning. Mm. That's all I'll say about it.
Fair enough. All right. Anything else to share?
Yeah.
All right. So for my gaming week, I had a lot of time to play games this week because, and I think I talked about this on last week's show, but I had a surgery on Wednesday. So, and obviously I'm here, so I'm fine. And I guess I could, it's my neck was worked on. So I had that bump on my neck to remove, and just, I'm going to give a content warning. I am going to turn around and show it. It's bandaged. It shouldn't look too bad. But just if that's a woozy thing for you, just avert your eyes for a moment. I'll tell you when I'm facing front again, but I'm going to turn around so you can see it here. And, you can see it's pretty large. Hold on. Sorry. And I apologize to the podcast listeners cause you can't see this part, but I'm going to quickly have a moment of silence while I turn around and show you that.
I'll talk. So Rob has turned around. He's got a big gauze of about maybe 2 inches in width on the back of his neck, maybe about 1 inch in height.
And I turned back. And I turned back around. It's safe now.
I was giving the play by play.
I know. Just for the folks who have.
But honestly, it's not gross. I mean, it's a bandage.
Yeah. You can't really see under the bandage right now, so I'm sure it's still healing. There's at least 10 stitches in there because I asked, how many stitches did you do? And he kind of chuckled and he went, at least 10. I will say this. It was not a pleasant experience. Honestly, it was interesting as we talk about all these like traumas and things. I definitely for 2 hours after the surgery, I felt complete. I just can't believe I was awake for it. Because just the whole fact that I could feel what was happening and in fact, even trying to describe it now is causing me in some sort of way. So, it was a lot. It was very intense. And so, I was just in shock for 2 hours after. Thankfully a lot of that settled down. But I just having yourself literally opened up on the table while you're awake.
Well, did you tell people what exactly it was that was removed?
Oh yeah, I had a lipoma.
Yeah.
Which is,
so if anyone watches
mass,
Dr.
Yeah.
Pimple Popper.
Yeah. It was that.
I watch lots of lipomas coming out of people.
I can't watch that stuff, and especially not
my
now.
Mom's addicted to.
They actually asked me after. They were like, do you want to see it? And I thought for a second, I think that was just me. I said no, I don't want to see it. So I'll never know what it looked like.
And I'll tell you this, Rob.
Yeah.
Lipomas actually don't look that gross.
I looked at before I had the surgery when I was looking at the information about it. So I did see what it is, but
they're like chunky pudding.
Yeah, I didn't want to see it after that. So anyway.
Yeah.
But the good news is, sorry, it may sound, look, here I am. I'm doing the show. I'm back to normal. Feel it back there. And that's why if you see me touching my neck a lot during the show, it's at that part where it's getting a little itchy in that area. So I just kind of have to softly I'm itching it, but I'm not really itching it type of thing. So because it's going to be, I think they said 10 days before the bandages kind of come off naturally and the dissolving stitches and all that.
So, Rob, I'll offer you a suggestion because I've had many a surgery in places that get really itchy.
Yeah.
I have this lotion. Now, it's not cheap, but I have the CeraVe version, but they'll often call it like Sarna or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good for just like stopping an itch. But I also was using lidocaine spray, like what you spray on a sunburn.
That is apparently the anesthesia they use, too, is lidocaine.
Oh, yeah. They use lidocaine. They just use a much stronger version of it. But, I mean, if you, like, get the cheapo lidocaine, you know, sunspray stuff, like, just get one that's, like, you know, unscented plain lidocaine. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's something like 4% lidocaine in solution. But that'll help quite a bit with the itchiness. And it won't really hurt your stitches.
I actually think I have some of that aloe vera with lidocaine stuff.
Now you want just lidocaine. You don't want to put the aloe in it.
Okay. Oh, I guess that's good to know because I would have went to that.
Trust me. Okay, I popped a stitch once.
Oh, no thank you.
It wasn't bad. I just put like liquid bandage on it and it because they had used skin glue for me.
Mm-hmm. I think that,
but it wasn't bad.
I don't know what they used because I swear I felt him tying knots. But
oh, yeah. No, they use a dissolving stitch and usually cover it with, what's it called? Skin bond, I think.
That's
basically
okay, that's what it's
liquid
going
stitches.
On. That's what's going on back here. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. So it's just a much stronger version of the liquid bandage.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. So, I don't mean to talk about the surgery all night, but just it was 7 centimeters big is how long because the nice thing about my insurance, you can go on and look at all the posts. I can go read the post-op notes. That I did do because that's just reading. There's no pictures.
We're through the same place, right?
Yeah, we go to the same place. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Because
isn't it fascinating?
Well, yeah. And I used to work in healthcare on the administrative side of it, and I would see those types of notes all the time. So it's kind of interesting to read them now when they're about you. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that. All right. But I, because of all that, I was still kind of working, but kind of some short days. So I was playing a lot of video games just kind of relax and recuperate. So the game that was really taking up the most of my time that I was playing was Yakuza Like a Dragon, which I've talked about previous weeks on this show. I am all
that
the
game
way
is
up to
goofy.
What's that?
That game is goofy.
It is, but it's so fun. I'm up to chapter 11 now in that game. So just to give you, because I think last time I talked about it, I was like chapter 4 or 5. I'm in chapter 11 now in the game. And a lot has happened. And I'll say the story is so good. Like it's like I'm watching a Netflix show. It really is. All these chapters could be episodes of a Netflix show. And I'm at the point now where finally little hints that are dropped in the earlier parts of the story are coming back. But I love how Yakuza reminds you just enough. Like it will like let's say they're talking about an obscure, I shouldn't say obscure, but let's say a character that was around in chapters 1 and 2 suddenly comes back in chapter 10 or 11. You will get like a little flashback where like you get a little photo on the screen that shows you that moment from chapter 1 or 2. So you can go, oh yeah, that, you know, and for me who has a bad memory to begin with, I need a lot of that stuff. And it's really good for me to be able to kind of keep along with the story. And they do it just enough so they're not, like, hitting you over the head with it, which I think is great. So, yeah, the way they storytell it is really good. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, hey, Rob, you should play Yakuza Like a Dragon. I can't believe nobody out there would tell me to play this series. Why would none of you out there say, play Yakuza, play literally any of those games, play them? Nobody would do that for me. I can't believe it. Anyway, I hope you all hear my tongue in cheek because many of you have said to play this series over the years. I finally did it, and I'm loving it. My one little complaint about the game is that I'm getting to the point where battles are feeling very grindy. I get it. It's a JRPG. Battles are supposed to be grindy. But because the animations are so over the top, because I don't always want to let the computer control things because it's not the smartest AI, they'll use up my good items if I'm not careful. I have to kind of sit there and it gets a little repetitive, especially because I just got to a point, I don't want to spoil anything, I'll just say the difficulty just went up like a lot, and I wasn't ready for it, so I'm having to go back and kind of like grind stuff, and that part is not very exciting. But
I imagine not.
Yeah, but the story is so good, it's compelling me enough to push through. But I haven't.
I like a game like that, but yeah. Sometimes you have to suffer for your enjoyment.
Yes. And like it's also interesting because the main story is very serious, and then all the sub quests are where all the sophomoric potty humor stuff shows up. Like the guys dressing up as babies and those sorts, that's all the side quest stuff. So it's interesting how you literally have comic relief for side quests. It's interesting to me. So anyway, yes, I recommend the game. It's on Game Pass. That's how I finally was like, all right, shut up everybody. All that. Cause it's not going to cost me anything outside of what I'm already paying. So that's how I finally did it. And now I'm like, all right, day one for the that's how Game Pass gets you. Because now I'm like, all right, day one for the sequel. I'm getting it. Absolutely. Cause the sequel is going to be fire. I know that. Anyway, other games I've been playing this week, because it hasn't just been about that. I've also been playing Dead by Daylight. Here's the weird thing. I played on PC and I played on Xbox because I needed to get achievements. And I was like, oh, my rank on Dead by Daylight fell all the way back to 20. This is the best time to do adept achievements because you get match made with all the other baby players. And since I'm on consoles, but I do not have to feel bad one bit if somebody's on the hook and I just open the door and let myself out, I don't care. Like, you know what? Sorry that happened to you. I was in a match, though, where there was a baby nurse killer and the other three were very clearly a Swift, and it was me. And these three kept flashlighting the hell out of this nurse. But because they were doing that, they weren't doing any gens. So I'm running from gen to gen and doing it. And you know what? Two of them died because all they were doing was hook trading. And then one of them got hooked. And I was like, you know what? When you do clownery, the clown come back to bite. And I left.
Yeah.
It's like, if you didn't want that clownery, do a gen. So I played Dead by Daylight. And then I also played, of course, Final Fantasy XIV. I've been playing a lot of that. And then another brand new-ish game that I played this week, I played Flight Simulator. Microsoft Flight Simulator just came out for the Xbox. So the Xbox Series X version and Series S version of the game just came out. Although I dabbled a little bit on PC, I think I said after I played the PC, I can't wait for the Xbox version because it's going to dumb it down for controllers to a level where I'll be able to play it better. And I have mixed feedback on that. They didn't actually really dumb it down. There's still they packed a lot of stuff into the controller, so much so that like I kind of have a hard time without the on-screen instructions and stuff to like still like, you know, do a smooth takeoff and all of that. But it's very easy to have the AI take over. And there's a very rich tutorial in the game. And there's a really cool little mode where you can just go in and there's some certain pre-selected areas and pre-selected flights. And it's just, okay, it's going to plop you in San Francisco. The plane is already in the air and go. Now you're taking over the plane. You can just explore San Francisco. And that's some of the coolest stuff that's in the game. Except I keep saying game. There's not really a game here. I mean, you can kind of make your own game, such as I'm going to fly in real time from my house to this airport that's 100 miles away or even further, and I'm going to do a real-time flight. There's not really a game. I mean, I guess the lessons kind of make up a game because the later lessons actually have you do that. It has you do flights from start to finish. So I guess that's the game, but I think we can all kind of identify that is a little weak. However, it doesn't matter with a game like this. I really think a lot of this is just like that experience of being able to explore the world. And it's beautiful. Like the graphics in this game are incredible. It is 4K and it looks great. The very first thing I did in this game was I flew an airplane out of SAC Executive, not the international airport, but the executive, because it's a little closer. And I flew over my house because I wanted to see it. And it was really cool, a cool thing to experience. I feel like if you're the type of person that can sit on Google Earth and look at places far away and go, ooh, or if you like to do like Street View, or if you've ever played GeoGuessr and you're into that, I feel like Flight Simulator is going to be your jam. Because that's what it is. It's just putting a new spin on Google Earth, I guess, except it's Bing Earth, and making it beautiful. It's great. looking in chat. As Joan Hunter Matt says, Flight Simulator is so pretty and easier on the controller. It's still tough because you have to be very precise with your movements. Yes, you can't just pull down on the thumbstick to tilt the plane up. No, no, no. You have to gently push down a little bit to get the right amount of movement. So it does challenge some of the conventional video game ways of thinking, that's for sure. Bobby Blackwolf says, I stalled trying to fly over Everest. I crashed into the Yosemite Mountain because I was flying around Yosemite because one of the flights is half dome. You can just start right there. And it said that there were like animals on the ground. And I was trying to get close to the ground because I wanted to see the animals, and I crashed the plane.
I'm only laughing because I think I would do that too.
You know what though? I will say it does it in a tasteful way when you crash the plane. The music in the game is really good. The music, the soundtrack in the game is very, very good. And especially, like, I feel like I'm on Soarin at the Disneyland ride. If you're a bit, yeah. I feel like I'm on Soarin when I play Flight Simulator. But if you crash, there's no explosion or anything graphic. It just instantly goes to black. And you hear this little like a drum beat that goes doom, 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 and then it instantly goes to black and it just goes, you have sustained critical damage and have broken your plane. And then the music instantly goes sad because you crashed the plane. So it's very tastefully and artistically done, actually, I will say, because, you know, there's people out there that are going to like be like, oh, I'm going to just, you know, try to crash into the airport and see what happens. It's artistic. Artisticness will happen. It's done very artfully. So, SG100 Matt says, I did enjoy just flying around places I've lived or been to. I flew around my own town. I did the San Francisco thing. I flew Vegas at night. I thought that would be a fun flight to do. I flew down because I took one of the little prop planes practically and flew down the strip of Vegas at night, and I thought that was a lot of fun. Bobby will be proud of me. I did Atlanta. I did a flight out of Hartsfield-Jackson and tried to find the Dragon Con hotels.
That's cool.
And did that. So that was fun too. Bobby says, I flew to my college and landed in the state. Oh, I did Disneyland. I tweeted that one. So I flew out of John Wayne Airport and tried to find Disneyland, which actually wasn't as easy as it sounds, because it does label a lot of points of interest, but probably due to licensing or whatever, they don't have Disneyland as a point of interest. You can find the town of Anaheim, but as we all know, even though Disneyland's in the town of Anaheim, there's a lot more. So I had to kind of find it. I kind of had to go, okay, there's the freeway.
You have to go down 5.
Well, yeah, but which of these freeways is 5? It takes you a minute to kind of find that, right? And then I was like, okay, I found it. And there's a lot of trees, which, because I would have thought, oh, you just look for the Matterhorn, and that's how you find Disneyland, because that's what you do when you're in the car, right? You find the Matterhorn. But when you're up in the air that high, the Matterhorn doesn't really stick out, because you're really high up. So anyway.
Yeah.
SG100 Matt says, I flew around New York City and that was a lot of fun. Although I noticed they didn't include the Freedom Tower. I did notice the imagery is a couple years old. So to use a local example, sorry, but for Dark Sakura's benefit, I found you can actually fly out of a grass field in Clarksburg. I thought that was kind of cool. So I did. I did a flight from there to like downtown. But I noticed as I was flying up 5, I was like, okay, there's the Sacramento Tower. And the Delta Shores isn't there. So the whole Delta Shores isn't there. It's just an empty. It looks like it's been like a lot that's being prepped for something, but that's all that's there.
Yeah, and the early days.
That's a big shopping complex here locally in the area that's been open. It's been around probably 2-3 years at this point, but it's not in the imagery. So it is a little bit dated. But I did find you can go into the DLC and there's all sorts of like free stuff. I guess they're user mods. And there was some US update thing that was like 4 gigs. It said it would update like 40 airports and certain landmarks. So I downloaded that. So I wonder if there isn't like other stuff that might update the. Oh, okay. Bobby Blackwolf says the US world update is from Microsoft. So I did grab that for what it's worth. And Bobby says the satellite imagery is old. The Georgia Dome is there and the Mercedes-Benz Stadium is still dirt and Turner Field is still the baseball stadium and Truist Park is woodland. That means nothing to me, but for those of you local in that area, it gives you an idea. But that's okay. I mean, I don't mind that the imagery is slightly old because it's enough, close enough. So yeah, I just again, if you are a Google Earth or GeoGuessr, or I'm exploring a town in Street View because it's fun type of thing. Like, it's a very specific type of nerddom, and I am very much into that. Flight Simulator is absolutely for you. But I do think there's some people that are going to go, wow, I just downloaded a 100-gig game that's not even a game. Then I hate to say Flight Simulator is probably not for you. But I think it's still worth checking out. Just if you want an impressive piece of graphical thing for your Xbox Series X, do it.
No.
All right. All right.
Well, I can't do it.
Well, no, not yet. Someday. Yeah, you don't even really have, because you're doing everything on Mac.
M1.
But I'm almost positive this will be on Microsoft Cloud. So in the future, you could.
Maybe Stadia might do something. That'd be nice.
It's a Microsoft first party title, yeah. So they'll probably keep
it. I'm not
going
to.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't think I need to.
Get it. All right. Okay. So that's it for my gaming week. I guess I should get in just a couple quick housekeeping things, and then we'll get into the news that's going on tonight. So just a couple quick things. The Southern Fried Game Room Expo is coming up, and it's the weekend of August 20th, if I remember correctly. That is in the Atlanta metro area. Vogue Network is sponsoring that, and Bobby Blackwolf will be there. I will not be, unfortunately. So if you're in the area and you feel okay to do that, because I realize this is a weird year and all that stuff, so everybody has to make their own choice with that. So we're going to do a low pressure ad this time. I'm just going to let you know it's a thing that's happening. If you'd like to go, great. And you can check out their website for all the updated health policies and things of that nature, so you can see if it's something you would be interested in. Another convention also in the Atlanta area that I will be at, as well as Bobby Blackwolf, is Dragon Con. Dragon Con is coming up over Labor Day weekend, and the policies for that did come out today. And so I am very relieved to see that they will be mandating masks for everybody, regardless of vaccination status. And they did cap the attendance at half, basically, of what they had in prior years. So
I'm still glad I didn't bother.
I understand, you know, everybody's got to make their own call, but for me, I'm ready. So I'm going to be doing 6 panels throughout the weekend. So it's going to be a different year, but that's part of the uniqueness of it, I think. I haven't traveled in a long time, so it'll be nice to do that. So that'll be over Labor Day weekend. So if you happen to be going, please say hi. If you need 6 feet of space, I completely understand. All right. That's it. I guess we can get into some gaming news now. So let's do it.
All right.
I'm going to start off tonight, and I will talk about the PlayStation 5 system software update. So there is a new beta version of PlayStation 5 system software. And the big thing about this software update, it is actually expanding SSD support. So if you're in the PlayStation 5 beta program, so they actually have like a beta interface program, this new software beta 2.0-04 is 0.00000, that is rolling out to folks. And this is where you're going to be able to use your own M.2 SSD into the PlayStation 5 expansion slot. And you can use it for additional storage, which, you know, a lot of people have been complaining about PlayStation 5 and Xbox, quite frankly, is that there's not enough storage for all these games now that there are 100 gigs, like Flight Simulator, right? We need more storage. So, excuse me, this PlayStation update's going to address that a little bit. However, there are some specifics to this. You can't just use any drive. I would direct you to PlayStation's website to read a little more on this, because I can say it, but I don't, you know, for example, you have to use a PCIe 4.0 M.2 SSDs with a capacity of 250 gigabyte minimum and 4 terabyte maximum. Okay, maybe you caught all that, but I bet you didn't. So you want to probably go look up the specs before you buy a drive to use with this. And of course, you want to make, don't plug one of these in with the power on. Turn the power off, then do it.
Lord.
Some other updates: 3D audio through the TV speakers. And then there's also in the home screen for games. If you have different platform versions of the same game installed, they appear separately on your home screen. So different versions of a game are easier to spot. An icon will show you if it's PlayStation 5 or PlayStation 4. that should help with some of the issues where people were saying, I was launching the wrong version of the game. I was trying to play No Man's Sky, and it kept launching the PS4 version of the game, which is great if I want to do VR, but otherwise, I don't need it. So they're separating that out a little bit. And there's some other features as well, some trophy things and so forth. So check that out if you're in the beta program. If you're not in the beta program, then good news. Other people are testing that for you, and you will get that update very soon, it sounds like. I would guess probably in a month or so. So check that out when it comes out. Sadly, I don't have a PlayStation 5 just yet, but that might be something that I get in a few more months. I'm thinking maybe this holiday, but it might. Thanks to this upcoming story Dark Soccer is about to bring us, now I'm like, maybe I can just wait till spring next year. We'll see. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
So a lot of people have been looking forward to Horizon Forbidden West that's supposed to be coming out on PS5. Well, they're going to have to keep looking forward to it because it has been delayed until first quarter 2022. Before it was actually set to be a holiday release. I said that it's just part of a number of delays that have been completely across the industry, including a few other games like God of War. They're saying that it's due to COVID-19 causing production challenges, having developers work from home, but also that it's just been bumping the games for just completely other reasons as well. So they're still working on it. They're just behind.
I feel like we need a little like card that we flip to here on the show, the little B-roll or whatever with a picture of Miyamoto that says that little quote, the bad game is bad forever and nobody will forget that you delayed a good game. You know, the whole thing, like, I feel like that just needs to be on standby.
Yeah.
Because, apply it in this particular case. But I mean, also at the same time, like, I get it. Not only has the COVID pandemic made, making games that were, a very collaborative thing before a little bit harder, but I think probably what's also coming into play here is that most folks reasonably thought once vaccines were available, the pandemic would start to subside. Now, I'm just going to leave it at that. You all can fill in the blank. We all know, but that is not what happened. And we all know why that didn't happen, and we're just going to leave it at that for now. And my point is that I bet a lot of these project plans that kind of thought about how are we going to get the game done by Christmas or, the holiday and all this stuff, how are we going to get the game done by then, probably involved, well, the good news is we'll be back in the office in June and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Cue the clown car music. We thought.
You know what? We were supposed to go back to our offices next month, and they've delayed us to an unspecified time. So I'm not surprised.
We were going to have the office open optionally on Monday. Some people are like male staff and stuff like that. Some people have to be there and have been here that whole time. But it's a very minimal staff that's very spread out, masked, as you can imagine. They were going to open it up to others who wanted to go in. Like
that's what we're like.
Yeah. They were going to do that on Monday. They've actually said, no, we're not even going to give that option. They've now scaled it back to, you can make an appointment to go get your shit that you haven't been able to get since March of 2020, and that's about all we're going to do right now. And with no specification of when it'll be even just be open to, like, I just want to not be at home for a day. Like, I want to go into the – of which there's a lot of people in that category right now. But not going to happen tomorrow. So.
Yeah. Honestly, I think everyone was thinking way optimistically.
I think with these Delta variant stuff, yeah, it's gonna get for the people who didn't get vaccinated or can't. I feel bad for the people that can't, because there are a very small set of people that, due to other ongoing treatments or certain immunocompromisations, can't get immunized, and I feel really bad for those people. Really bad.
Yeah.
For them. So, anyway, Pele Hanumea in chat says, don't wait 100 hours into PS Valhalla, PS5 Valhalla, still OMG on how beautiful in 4K on my QLED and really fast load times. So for what it's worth, I do have Xbox Series X. So most of those cross-platform things, I'm just playing on Series X. However, I do realize Sony has their own games I need to play at some point, including the one Dark Soccer just mentioned. This story says, okay, you have a little bit longer. And absolutely, by the time Final Fantasy 16 is out, you know I'm going to have a, I will not miss Final Fantasy 16, period. I'm at the point where, you know, thanks to the pandemic and us not taking vacations, I will probably take 2 or 3 days of vacation when Final Fantasy 16 comes out. Because I'm an adult.
I'm an adult.
Exactly. All right. Pod Culture in chat says Delta is rough, but what the fuck is Epsilon going to be like? They're already up to Iota is where they're up to, actually. Some of the variants of concerns have different concerns other than they're more transmissible. So we haven't heard about them as much because they're more isolated to certain parts of the globe. But the good news is vaccines have proven some sort of effectiveness, certainly keeping you out of the hospital on all of them, unless you're like over the age of 80 or have other, you know, like I said, the immunocompromised and those issues going on. Even then, it's a very, 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 very small amount. And the media does kind of fixate too much on that small amount that are vaccinated and still have those types of problems, because the vast majority of vaccinated people not having problems. So,
yeah. Even so, though, and it's officially out that you can be vaccinated and you can still get it.
Yep.
So I'm just like, no. I'm going to remain a hermit.
Let's see. Looking in the other chat. Pod Culture in chat says, I hear a kitty. Is it Smush or Midna? It's Smush. Sorry. I don't know what he's
Midna,
on about.
Midna's voice is quite a bit different, too. So,
Daddy took a Costco trip today. So Smush is probably seeing something that came back from Costco and is probably going crazy about it. So there is that. All right.
Aww.
Well, let's move on. I brought up Final Fantasy, so let's talk about Final Fantasy 14. This is interesting. I learned some things this week because of this story. Y'all know I love Final Fantasy 14. I play too much of it, and I'm really excited for the next expansion. Endwalker is going to be coming out, and Endwalker is going to be bringing two new jobs to it, the Sage class and the Reaper class. And Final Fantasy 14 kind of has these iconic job icons that go with the different classes in the game. In fact, some people go so far as to get these tattooed on themselves. But a lot of people have them like with bumper stickers on their car or patches on their backpack and that sort of thing. These icons that represent the job classes that they play. Well, if you started to make some of that gear for Endwalker, you're going to have to change it a little bit, because it turns out they have changed the Sage icon for Final Fantasy 14. But it's very interesting the why behind this. They actually went so far, Naoki Yoshida, being they in this case, actually wrote another letter, which he's been doing a lot lately, addressing, like, you know, because I just talked about this last week, the increased player base in the game. He kind of wrote a letter about that and the challenges they were having. He wrote another letter about the slight change in the icon for the Sage class. So they have changed it a little bit so that now some of the... So the Sage uses this weapon that's kind of like these little darts that fly through the air sort of thing. And the way it was represented were these four little darts, excuse me, with little holes in the top of them. But the way they were put together was actually making some folks a little bit anxious because of trypophobia, I think it's called, where trypophobia is basically if you see clusters of holes. So things like, and again, I apologize if I'm talking about things that are going to give you the heebie-jeebies, but please understand I'm trying to be educational, like I got this week. Things like honeycombs, right? That can give people the heebie-jeebies because it's that the holes together. And I actually never even really knew that this was a thing. So, but because I also tweeted about it, and I actually got a response where somebody, I think a couple of them actually, where somebody was like, yeah, this is me. And, you know, I'm glad he did this. So, and the team changed the icon. So now they're not all like lined up. They're kind of like tilted in a little bit, and the holes in three of them are filled in. So it looks a little different now. I think it's a very subtle change, but you know, there were the trolls that came out and said, the old one looked better. Mm-hmm. You know, I already had stuff made up for the old one. Whatever.
They can all bite my butt.
Get over it. You could live in your special little snowflake cloud and all that stuff. Congratulations. You know, no one cares. It's that Jurassic Park meme where, look at this guy. Look, nobody cares. But Yoshida.
Or the old no one cur.
Yeah. But Yoshida, and again, to stress, I'm saying that to the people that are like, the old one was better. I'm not saying that to the people that had, which I never realized was the thing. And now I learned. I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's neat. You know, Final Fantasy XIV has really made a name for itself in how accessible it is. It's won awards for its accessibility. And when you see Yoshi-P write a letter like this, explaining what they basically saying, this aversion in the letter, this aversion is known as trypophobia, and those who have it feel disgust and fear when they see clusters of small holes or bumps. Like, having a producer of a game explain that, it's like, okay, you get what. To tie this to the Activision Blizzard thing a little bit, I'm sorry, but I have to. And I'm not pitting 14 against WoW. That's not what I'm doing. However, what did I say with that whole thing and other things like it? The culture is defined by the management, right? And you hear about what's going on that we all talked about at the beginning of the show, and gross, disgusting, et cetera, and all this. But then you look at Naoki Yoshida. And you got to say, now, here's a man who deserves a gold star. Here's a man who doesn't just get one piece of glitter. Here's a man who gets the whole star because he acknowledges it, he explains it, and he says, you know what? We need to you know what? It was brought to my attention. I think we can change this without, like, changing the meaning behind it, all this stuff, and make, you know, make this a little better for some people. And he walks that fucking walk. And you know what? Mm-hmm. His game is reaping the benefits now, and I say, well deserved. And I don't just say that as a fanboy of Final Fantasy XIV. I say that as a Naoki Yoshida is a great person. Let's see. Dijorama S in chat says certain forms of trypophobia get me, so I'm lucky. I just didn't know this was a thing. Yeah, Tiger Claw points out even strawberries can cause it. Yeah, I saw that in some of the articles. Yep. Fifth Dream says Yoshi P is just a wholesome dude. Pod culture brings up, and you know what? Somebody in Discord had said this too. I don't know if it's Tiger Claw or what, but was talking about the Xbox Series X. And if you look at the top of a Series X, it has all those holes in it. It's for ventilation. I get the logic behind it. But some sites were running an article about how the Xbox Series X was causing some people issues because of its design. And it's the same thing that's playing into that, which is very interesting. Very, 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 very interesting. So, yeah. And SG100 Matt says it's great when devs listen to their communities and are transparent about it. Yeah. So, you know, and he's not. It's not like he's changing the entire game. He's changing a thing where he's like, this is an easy fix to, like, not give certain people anxiety and we can still have the same artistic vision. I'm just going to change it. Cool. That's a great attitude. We need more of that. Anyway. So, anyway, a big gold star, a golden hug for you, Yoshida. You're a good person. All right.
For sure.
That's another reason why I will plunk down that money day one for Final Fantasy 16. With him on the team, how can it be bad? Famous last words. But you know what? Even if it's a bad game, which I doubt it will be, but even if it's even if it's on the lower end of Final Fantasy games or whatever, I will still say, you know what? I supported a great team. All right.
Indeed.
Let's move on, Darksakura.
So, how about boring financial stuff?
My favorite.
Right? But this is actually very notable. Basically, the video game industry has taken a really big amount of business in the terms of mergers and acquisitions. Basically record investment ratings in the second quarter. So this is going on, the numbers, just to put it this way, there is $18.2 billion in mergers and acquisitions and $7.4 billion in investments. So because the market has been so strong in the wake of the pandemic that, you know, and we're seeing the results, we're seeing these companies do buyouts. We're seeing, you know, like one of them, there was Iron Source in Place Studios. There was EA purchasing Glue Mobile. Gearbox being acquired. You know, just so many things going on. We're hearing more and more. Like the biggest one was Epic Games doing a $1 billion late stage. I mean, of course, this is Epic has also been in other issues going on that could affect them financially that I'm not supposed to talk about. but I mean, we're seeing more and more of this happening. And now what I wonder is that how the recent executive order is going to affect further mergers and acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm glad to see the investment happen. I'm glad to see, you know, I'm glad to see the industry grow, but I don't want it to grow at the expense of a fair competition.
Right.
You know, if we're gonna have to live in a capitalist society, you may as well cut out the monopoly.
Absolutely.
Makes sense?
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is that we see a lot of like up and coming, you know, group. It's interesting because I feel like every time there's a merger, there's people that inevitably leave the company because of the merger and then start up their own studio. And then it's a weird game that's played in the gaming industry is then like these new studios start to come up and some of them end up getting bought, but not all of them do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think about a lot of developers, you know, again, thinking of the big story this week about how probably there were a lot of people that left those companies because of those cultures. And I'm not just picking on the one we were talking about earlier, but a lot of the AAA companies and started their own studios. And why we have like some really cool companies out there that, you know, like I think of like Supergiant Games and a game like Hades and just like mm-hmm. everything that kind of came out of that game and everything is like, I don't know if that studio in particular was started by like disgruntled former employees, but it's nice to hear about like these smaller studios kind of coming up and taking a different approach to games that oftentimes pays off very, very well.
Yeah, but you know that the cycle is going to continue. You know, eventually they're going to be popular. They're going to get bought.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big cycle that needs to be broken. And I'm really curious to see what happens with with this executive order. I want to see that when everything is going into place, I want to see what these results are.
Yeah.
I really think that we're going to start having a bigger, what's what I'm thinking of? Not necessarily that they're all affected as much, but I want to see there be maybe a little bit more equilibrium in the industry.
I gotcha. So even though you say, hey, woo, video gaming investment, I think this is something where it's like, oh, this trickles down to the types of games that end up getting made. So
right.
This is big news to the industry.
Not necessarily trickle down financially because.
No, not that. But yeah.
No. Yeah. Screw you, Reagan.
All right. Moving on. Let's talk about kitties. Let's talk about a game about kitties. Yay.
Kitties are the best.
Maybe that's why Mr. Smush came. Oh, he left. I just looked over to where he was sitting early. He left. Never mind. He didn't come in for the cat story. But one game that I don't know about you, but it definitely caught my attention when it was shown at
Wasn't
one of these.
Was this advertised a while back?
It was. It was at the early PlayStation 5 showcase. I want to say it was actually their announcement showcase. They showed this game called Stray, which was all we really knew at the time is it's a game about cats. That's kind of all we still know. It's a cat simulator. It's called Stray, but we know when it's coming out. It is coming out in early 2022. And it's going to be coming out for the PC, and it's going to be coming out for the PlayStation. And if you want to see more about the game, a gameplay walkthrough just came out this week. So that is actually something you can look at to get a little more sense about what the game really is and so forth. So sorry, I brought it up. I wanted to see a little bit of it on this computer over here. But you do play as a cat who ends up getting injured and separated from his family. So you use your physical abilities to navigate the environment and solve puzzles. Partway through the adventure, you meet a drone. And then that drone will let you converse with other robots in the city and interact with objects in the environment. So that's kind of interesting. You can also do fun cat things. Scratch furniture, which we all
know. Knock shit off.
It has to. You can interact with vending machines. You can rub up against the legs of robots that you meet. Nothing yet about knocking shit over, but how can that not be involved?
Yeah, there's got to be asshole cat mode.
There's got to be. Well, don't forget, there's that game on itch.io that was actually, it's not called Asshole Cat, is it?
But basically,
that's what you are a cat and you play an asshole cat.
There was cat lateral damage.
That's it. Cat lateral damage. That's it. Yeah. Like, it's not called Asshole Cat. You know what I'm mixing it up with? I'm mixing it up with Untitled Goose Game, because the reason that is called Untitled Goose Game is because that game was called Asshole Goose or something like that in the beginning.
Yeah.
And they obviously cannot release a game on Nintendo. Like, you can't release a game called Pixel Shits, so it's called Pixel Poops. Well, Asshole Goose became Untitled Goose Game. So. Anyway.
The goose is a big dick.
they Fifth Dream came up with that. We have cat lateral damage for knocking shit over. Yes. SSG100 Matt says there is some platforming stuff where you have to knock things over. Good.
Good.
Pod Culture brings up President Stray, the game. You know what? This is as good as it's going to get for President Cat. I'll take it. You know what? President Cat, that news is so 2008. I'll say it. At least we're now in the year 2021, we're finally getting a fucking cat game. I'm excited. All right.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I'm excited about Stray. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get into a time where not all games were about cats with our next segment.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And what did you pick for us this week, Darsaka?
I picked an arcade game called Lucky and Wild.
We always talk about this game. How has this not been a classic game? All right.
I went to look, and I was like, you know, we brought this game up before, but have we actually done it? And yeah, so it's time.
It is time.
So Lucky and Wild is a first-person racing/shooter game that was released by Namco in 1993, ran on the Namco System 2 hardware, and it's a throwback to... You remember the movie Tango and Cash?
I do. Just to give you a heads up, I'm going AFK a quick second. Bio break.
Okay. So it has it also pulls a little bit from Starsky and Hutch as well. So the first player is called Lucky, who's this debonair guy in a business suit. Who was modeled after Starsky and Tango. And he has to drive the car, accelerate, you know, basically do all that, and shoot with a light gun. The second character is called Wild, who is kind of like a surfer guy with the long hair, and he's modeled after Hutch and Cash. And he shoots with just a second light gun, so he doesn't have to drive. I mean, lazy butthole. Anyway, you have to help the two of them catch six suspects by the names of Jerky, Gambit, Juliora, Keel, Bear, and Big Cigar himself. So you go through the stages. You have to fire at enemy cars, destroy their henchmen as well as the cars, stop the projectiles that are fired at you, the usual for a shooting game. when you catch up to the suspect, you have to continuously fire until its energy is depleted, and then you will have captured the suspect and get a reward. If the the timer runs out, the suspect will escape. And you'll see the text, "Got away," appearing on the screen. So after each stage, Lucky and Wild drive to the Pink Cat's garage to get their car repaired. And they'll be entertained by young women wearing cattails and ears. Yeah. So, yeah, sexism in the industry, just saying. Anyway, so there are a few different ways that you can play the game. So one player can drive and another one can shoot. One player can drive with someone else on the gun and someone else on the other gun. One player can drive with another one manning both guns. One player driving, you know, you've got all kinds of like different ways that you can do this. Or you can have somebody doing both of the guns while driving. Although Namco has never actually put out, though, an official that lets the three people play simultaneously, but people would do it, and I've seen it happen. So it was created by Konoe Yutaka, who joined Namco in 1991. His first project was Tank Force, which was a sequel to Tank Battalion. He also worked on the original Point Blank and Time Crisis. So when he, you know, noticed that the arcades were played, you know, had a lot of young couples playing, he wanted to make a machine that young couples could play. You know, he also noticed that buddy cop movies in Japan were becoming more popular, like, you know, movies like Chips and Police Story. And so he made the game. I mean, the title in Japan is called Joe and Paunch, as it was inspired by Chips. It always makes me think of Space Ghost Coast to Coast with Moltar. Cool. Chips. That was always funny. Anyway, he also got some ideas from Sega's Rail Chase, which was, you know, had the motion-based seat that reacted to your actions in the game, like shaking over the rocky roads and stuff like that. And so Lucky and Wild originally had that kind of shake in there, but Namco really wanted to have the light guns with the single shot and the trigger and everything. So eventually there became like this big consensus reached, and this is what came out. It was released in Japan in April 1993 and in May in North America. So it borrowed from other things. So it had like American Tuning Car Company brand was in the Ridge Racer games, although it belonged to, you know, the muscle cars. The Lucky and Wild protagonists appeared in Mario Kart Arcade GP DX, with one person driving and the second being the gunner.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. How did I miss that?
And in the interactive video series Bear Stearns Bravo, the Bear Stearns CEO Jackie Dalton refers to the regulators Franco and Henry by the name of Lucky and Wild. So, Game Machine states that this was the third most popular arcade game in May of 1993 in Japan. Replay states that it was the fourth most popular deluxe arcade game at the time, and Playmeter listed it as the 25th most popular arcade game at the time. So, it goes along from a different, you know, different places that they'll argue against it. But at any rate, Lucky and Wild.
Lucky and Wild. That's it. That's the tweet. I just love that, like, especially as far as Namco is concerned, like, there must have been some type of meeting where it's like, okay, do we make another racing game or do we make another Time Crisis shooting game? And it's, oh, hell no. We're going to make both. Why not both at the same time? And here we have Lucky and Wild.
I'm trying to actually think of how to say that in Japanese. And, let me see.
But I still see these cabinets around today once in a while. It's a fun game. It's silly. In a good way. All right.
I think it's Naze Ryoho de Wanai.
Was that the translation for why not both?
Why not both? I know, yeah.
Por qué no los dos? Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, Lucky and Wild.
For the record, I think this did predate Time Crisis.
Oh, well. Still. Okay, fine. Then point blank. All right. Which actually might have predated that, too. No, that's right.
I have to double check Time Crisis now.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, don't get too far into the double checking because we're going to move on.
Yeah, Time Crisis was 1995.
All right, my bad. But Namco had other shooters that existed prior to that. I know Point Blank for sure. Mm. But anyway, let's get into some rapid fire news and talk about some other stories going on in the industry. So I will start. I have a story about the Tokyo Olympics. And last week we were kind of talking about a lot of those video game songs that were used in the opening ceremony. And there was a lot of question about, well, what about Nintendo? Where was Nintendo? Because the Warp Pipe showed up in the handoff at the Rio de Janeiro Olympics in 2016. You know, where was the Nintendo presence at the Tokyo Olympics? And some folks were theorizing, you know, they probably pulled out because there's a lot of people in Japan that kind of think the Olympics is bullshit right now.
Yeah.
So they probably pulled out. And as it turns out, yeah, that's pretty much what happened. But this is as reported. So, you know, we don't have it from Nintendo themselves, but this was reported by a Japanese publication, Bunshun. And I don't know, like, are we talking about a National Enquirer? I'm sorry, Bunshin. I don't know if we're talking about like a National Enquirer type of publication or if we're talking about something a little more respectable. But they are reporting there were last minute changes. Apparently, the event was going to have the Legend of Zelda theme, the Mario Suite, Kirby Superstar medley. Oh, sorry, Mike Deft. The Pokemon opening. And also, apparently, Lady Gaga was going to do a gag. Now, she wasn't going to be there, but Lady Gaga was going to like go down into a pipe, a warp pipe, in like recorded footage. And Japanese comedian Naomi Watanabe was going to come out.
Watanabe
was going to come out of the pipe as like probably like a Gaga impersonator or something like that. But sadly, the ideas were thrown away because of the controversial statements by the comp. You know, they had all the issues with all those shitty things that were said beforehand. That's why Nintendo pulled out, basically.
So I do have to explain a little bit of something about Shukan Bunshin.
Okay.
Is that this magazine has been credited with bringing down a minister and a politician.
Hmm.
And it nearly broke up one of Japan's biggest boy bands. So basically, the magazine does exposés and investigative reporting and typically has a lot of clashes with the Japanese government.
Interesting. Okay.
So this isn't a tabloid. This is like an expose magazine.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Good to know.
Yeah.
So it's a little more Teen Vogue and a little less National Enquirer, basically, or TMZ. Perez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. In other rapid,
maybe a little more Al Jazeera.
Okay, fine. All right. Hey, there's a lot of great stuff that Teen Vogue's done in the past few years. All right.
Oh no, Teen Vogue is amazing.
Anyway, what else is amazing? The Simpsons arcade game is a great game from years ago. In fact, oh my God, is that it's 30 years old? It sure is. That's a 30-year-old game, and we had all those rumors going into E3. In fact, they weren't just rumors. We had a fucking trailer that leaked, and still yet no announcement at E3 about the Simpsons Arcade 1-Up machine. Well, guess what? It finally got... We will never know what caused the delay. Nobody's saying anything. All we know is that Arcade 1-Up officially announced the Simpsons Arcade Retro Cabinet. It's going to have authentic artwork and relatively easy assembly. You can start pre-ordering the machine on August 16th. We don't know how much the machine is going to cost, but just so you know, Turtles in Time is $650, and that is a pretty similar sort of thing. And there's only going to be one game with this, with The Simpsons, because a lot of those cabinets have multiple games in them. Not this one. So, but I will say, if there's any cabinet that people remember from their childhood, that they might, it might be this one. Anyway, I am crossing my fingers and toes that this means that Tron cabinet isn't far behind. But you know what? I'm not going to hold my breath either. Oh, Orange Wright says, I heard this also has Simpsons bowling. It has a trackball. Interesting. But yeah, Dark Tetsuya says, I don't know what happened to the bowling game. I didn't see the trackball on the new picture. I wonder if something is there about why it got delayed. I don't know. Just
maybe it's an add-on you have to pay for.
Well, but then you'd have to pay for that trackball too, which would be weird to install.
That's what I'm talking about. You have to pay for like a trackball edition or something.
Yeah. So Bobby Blackwolf is saying the rumor is the Simpsons bowling is the license that got revoked, and that was an 11th hour revoke. So that might, we might be starting to put together why did this suddenly not get announced at E3? Aha, but We don't have a definitive answer on that. We just sort of are reading tea leaves there. Anyhow, moving on, Dark Sakura.
So finally, updates for Animal Crossing. So maybe I'll check on my village. the updates. Well, it says the update was supposed to happen July 29th. So I missed that, and that there were going to be more updates later in 2021. So hopefully they'll be good. I mean, it's the fireworks and the seasonal items. So I don't know if it's going to be worth me playing again. And then Hot Wheels Unleashed is going to have some pop culture cars in it. So among those is going to be the Turtles Party Wagon from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. apparently Snoopy, I guess, on the doghouse, you know.
The Kit. Red Baron. Yeah.
The Red Baron, yeah. Kit from Knight Rider. The DeLorean from Back to the Future, the Batmobile. I don't know which Batmobile, but there is something in there that honestly is more exciting than all of that to me, Rob. A Fiat 500.
Well, there you go.
Because I drive one.
Nice.
Every time I see a Hot Wheel Fiat, I buy it for myself. The same way every time I see any kind of Mustang, I buy it for Dan. He's got so many Hot Wheel Mustangs. It's not even funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, if we could only get like the Hot Wheels pinball, we'd be set.
Sia Tabiri bringing us what else is with that Animal Crossing update? You can now get boba tea and cotton candy in the drawings during fireworks events in Animal Crossing New Horizons. So that's cute.
Well, crap. I better play.
All right. Hey, there's something to do instead of Fantasian one night or whatever you were thinking. Animal Crossing journey. All right. Mm. Anyway,
that one's even harder to get my stuff set up for.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of some games coming out soon near you. Loki's not here tonight. I will try to do the U.S. dates here. So on August 2nd, Age of Empires 3 Definitive Edition is coming out for Windows. I kind of think that's probably the tempo release this week because I don't see a lot of big stuff this week. Although for Windows and Stadia, we do have Grime is coming out on the 2nd. We also have In Sound Mind coming out for Windows, Switch, PS5, Xbox Series X. That is a horror game from We Create Stuff. And then we have the Falconeer Warrior Edition on Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. That is a air combat type of game. So that's it for releases in the U.S. this week. Let me get in my plane and fly over to Japan real quick and get some of the releases over there. On August 5th on the Nintendo Switch, we have The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 2. We also have that Falconeer game is out on the Switch this week. And that's it on the Switch. Let me check the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5 is getting the Falconeer as well, so that is out. There's also a special Guilty Gear... There's not a Guilty Gear game, but like a fighting stick coming out, if peripherals are of interest to you. And then the Falconeer, that appears to be the big release in Japan, because that is also on the PlayStation 4 this week. But you can also get Dirt 5 in Japan, getting its release for Japanese audiences on the PlayStation 4 this week. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Just a handful. On 3rd August, we have Spiritfarer. On the 6th, we have Blue Fire and Zengen, I reckon is how it's said. And on the 7th, we have 7 Days to Die. How appropriate.
All right.
That's it.
All right. Kind of a slower week, but understandable. We'll probably get a little more as we get into Labor Day and all that. So let's get back into just a few stories here, and then we'll get to Listener Roundtable. I know I saw at least one email before the show tonight, and then we'll see if there's any calls. Why not? We can try that again. Or any questions you guys might have in chat. And then, of course, I might pull a few stories from our Discord, although I kind of pulled some to fill out tonight's show roll, but I do encourage you guys to join our Discord and continue the conversation throughout the week, especially now that they have threads. Like, you know what's funny is that when we first made the switch to Discord, I kind of joked with Bobby. I said, Discord kind of replaced our forums on VOG Network because, you know, that got overrun with spammers. We haven't used those forums in a long time. They honestly just shouldn't even really be there except for the fact that we post our story stuff there. That's it. OLR has a secret forum. We're still using it. But, yeah, and I think some of that actually powers the
I just email
site.
You.
I know.
It's easy.
Yeah, although it probably would be better if you could get back on the forums, so it's all in one place, but it's all right. Honestly, we should just kind of all move it, but we can talk about that later, because I kind of think we should just have a special Discord channel.
Let's move to Slack.
Well, why not Discord? We already have one set up. It's the same thing.
I guess.
All right. Anyway, DJ Rama S says OneNote. It's what we have at Anime Jam Session. Actually, I love OneNote at work. I never thought about using it for my personal stuff, but I use it at work all the time.
I'm on a Mac.
Mac has Microsoft stuff?
Yeah, I don't want to have to pay for OneNote.
All right.
If it's going to make me pay for it.
All right, moving on. Let's talk about this story. And this was getting a lot of traction on social media this week. And it has to do with a new series reported for Netflix, a live action Pokemon series for Netflix. This is not necessarily from the minds behind Detective Pikachu, because that's where a lot of people's heads went at first, which I thought Detective Pikachu was cute. Like, and I was like, if there's a live action thing behind that, I kind of would be into it, I think. However, this is coming from Lucifer's. So the people behind Lucifer, Joe Henderson. We don't know a lot else. This is a report that came from Variety. Variety is, I guess, the expose, but of Hollywood. So they run a lot. Like, Variety and Deadline are kind of the big names in Hollywood that talk about what's going on in the industry there. Variety is reporting that the live-action Pokemon series is in the works at Netflix with Joe Henderson from Lucifer on deck as writer and executive producer. That's it. It's in its early days. We don't know the plot. Is it Detective Pikachu? Is it the anime series? Is it a new story? I don't know. It's in its early stages. Nobody knows. A lot of people are jumping to conclusions, but we don't know. However, Variety is saying that the Netflix show, according to sources, would be a live-action series akin to the Detective Pikachu film with Ryan Reynolds and Justice Smith. But I don't see – when I hear that, I don't hear it's in the same universe or it's the same thing. I hear this is not an anime. This is not a cartoon because Netflix has been doing a lot of animes and cartoons. So I think some people could have inferred that, oh, they're just, you know, going to make their own movie or their own series or whatever. And that's not actually what's happening here. So, all right. We don't know a lot else. So we have not heard a single person cast. We haven't seen a single frame of footage. I kind of think you know what? Why not? Like, how bad could it be? Famous last words. I'm willing to give it a try. At least let's see a trailer. I liked Detective Pikachu. I think a lot of that rests on Ryan Reynolds. But
I haven't seen it and I want to.
You should. I liked the way conceptually they put Pokemon in the real world as if it was just a thing that was always around. I thought it was really cute. So we'll see. DJ Rama S in chat says the live action Pokemon series is a gateway to the Smash Brothers movie universe. Hey, I'll take it. SSJ100 Matt says, with the success of Detective Pikachu, I'm sure they fast-tracked anything Pokemon-related. Well, sure, and then you also have things like Pokemon Go, which I didn't get into that at the top of the show. We're going to need some extra, because we need some extra stories. We're going to have some extra stories in a little bit.
We did have a hint of it.
Yeah. And then Fifth Dream in chat says, it's a whole show with only Bidoof. Oh, my dream. The Bidoof show. It's actually just a chat talk show with Bidoof.
But you also need like the you know how like at the end of He-Man they would have like the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You need that presented by a Mudkip.
I love it. All right. we'll hear more about that probably in a year, if that, when somebody gets cast for this. I think once you start to hear what the cast is, then you might know like what the story. So like if they cast an Ash Ketchum, then we know they're probably going around the anime. But if they don't, then they're probably doing their own thing. So we'll see.
If they do a Satoshi, then they're saying we're going to do this the right way.
Fair, but I have a feeling this is going to be very North America based. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. That could be interesting too. We'll see. We don't know. All right. How about we do our extra stories now? We're gonna break the rules a little bit and insert two stories that are not in the sidebar. So, Dark Soccer, you just texted me something you wanted to talk about. So why don't you go for it? Because I think it's funny.
I did. I was poking at my Twitter for just a second, and then I saw that Ariana Grande was trending.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the hell has she done now? And it looks like that she is partnered with Fortnite for a Rift Tour concert series. The series is scheduled for August 6th through 8th with 5 showtimes over 3 days. So it's a musical experience, they say, with a special playlist and a playable character that was inspired by Ariana. The character actually looks really cute. You know, like wearing like this sort of sparkly, metallic, holographic-ish kind of thing. And of course, with her signature like purple top knot, it is very purple. I'll just go ahead and read what exactly this says. Fortnite user... apparently, they can schedule their showtime in Fortnite and then coordinate with their friends. You go to rifttour.com for it. And then she will be added to the game's icon series. And then you get the items that are available from the item shop from her, including the outfit and this like yellow piggy backpack called Piggy Smalls Back Bling. That's inspired by her real life piglet pet. For the record, never get a piglet as a pet. They will get big. And so this is supposed to blow away Travis Scott's thing where they basically broke the record for biggest live audience in Fortnite. So I don't know. It looks interesting. The trailer looks interesting. It's not enough to ever make me desire to want to play Fortnite, like, in the least.
Not my gay ass is going to be playing Fortnite.
Huh?
I said my gay ass is going to be playing Fortnite.
All right, well, you do you.
I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing, but I'll be there. Nothing but the best for our queen. All right.
You know, she has one song that I like. And only because it kind of grew on me because they'd play it at Badlands every fucking time I was there.
I like, okay, Into You is like a quintessential like gay song. That's a gay anthem. I love that song.
It was No Tears Left to Cry, but I also really like the video for it. I like the cinematography in the video.
Yes, that was good too. I really liked Thank You Next that spoofed all the 90s films. I thought it was so cute.
The video for that was great, and I actually like the message of the song, but I don't like the song.
Fair. And then there was a song in DDR that just recently got pulled because the license expired. It was it wasn't Into You, but it was something else from that album. Help me, Bomani fans. What was the song of hers? It was the sci-fi video where she was shooting the aliens and stuff. I can't remember the name of the song. Her brother's in it too. I can't remember the name of the song. Bad Gay. Help.
That's okay. I don't know what the song is at all.
Are there any Sia Tabiri or somebody in chat who knows their music? Help. They Break Free. That's it. How can I forget that song? It's such a good song too. This is the part where I break free. All right, anyway. that's it. I'm never doing that
again. If you see me looking at my cam right now, I'm looking at you, Rob. I see you through the internet.
All right.
And I'm judging you.
Stop it. All right. I feel awkward. all right. Now, my story. So let's talk about this. So a lot of people dunking on Niantic today on Twitter because of Pokemon mm-hmm. Go, which is still going. But as it is August 1st, you may or may not recall, Niantic said they were going to be reverting some changes that they had made due to COVID and all this. They were going to be reverting some of that on August 1st. And a lot of people are pissed off that they made good on that promise today. And the big one is you can no longer spin Pokestops or gyms that are 80 meters away. The radius is back down to what it used to be, 40, which is very similar to what the range has always been in Ingress.
Sure, lower it when we have new variants, you know, out and people are stupid.
Exactly.
You saw the Lollapalooza thing, right?
Exactly. Well,
I'm sorry, massive spreader event palooza.
Vaccinations were required to get into Lollapalooza too, though.
People.
But anyway, what was I going to say with all that? The
interface? Game?
Yes.
Radius?
Yes. The
spinning.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of that was in response to COVID and all that. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. I think that change was never really about COVID. It really wasn't. I think they made certain concessions so that people would keep playing the game and so that they wouldn't complete. Like, obviously, the remote rating was put in and all of that stuff. But 40 meters is still a pretty. And I'm going to preface this. I'm not defending what Niantic did. But I think the error is not. It's how they did it. So they doubled the distance. They said because of COVID, we're doing this. And then they said this is a change that's going to be permanent, basically. They went back on that. Mm-hmm. That's the first mistake they made. The second mistake they made was when they went back on it, they used COVID as an excuse.
Yeah.
That, I think, is the biggest problem they made. They never scaled it up, in my opinion, due to COVID to begin with. And for them to now say, well, because COVID is, we have different standards now, rules now, whatever, we're going to take this part away. And I think they're using COVID as a crutch and an excuse for something that was generating revenue. And that was people buying Pokeballs and things like that. So that's the tacky part to me. Is that they never should have scapegoated it as a COVID thing to begin with, and they certainly shouldn't be doing that now. And it's pissing off a lot of fans.
It's just rude.
I don't think fans are going to stop playing the game. I really don't. I even saw the guy from Serebii, and I'm not, but I'm just saying big names in the Pokemon industry are, in fandom are going out and saying this is fucked up. So hopefully Niantic, it kind of pressures them into changing it back or what have you. But it's only going to happen if people stop spending money. That's the only way it's
going to stop. Well, I was considering playing it again, and now I'm absolutely not going to.
So we'll see. I mean, it's Sunday, so we'll see what happens come tomorrow after all this negative press today. But I also wrote a tweet that I'm surprised more people didn't see because I want to point out something else. I got an email today at 1:30 in the afternoon from Ingress, one of Niantic's other games. And it says, August virtual first Saturday. August first Saturday at home, Saturday, August 7th, 2021. Join our first Saturday. Blah, 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 blah. Isn't that interesting that another Niantic game completely recognizes that things are still virtual and things are still done this, in a different way because COVID is not 100% gone? Yet
it's not going to be gone at all.
Yet Pokemon Go goes and says, oh, we're going to scale these things back or whatever. That's the problem. Pokemon Go using COVID as a scapegoat to do this now is incorrect. Going to chat, Mike Deft in chat says, pissing off is pretty tame. Mike Deft says, the whole player base is all sorts of mad. Even influencers who work with Niantic are getting ignored. S200 Matt says, there's apparently something that data miners found saying there will be a way to power up Pokestops, which people are theorizing that means when you power up a stop, you get more items and wider range. Wow, sounds like a moneymaker to me. Sounds like when they increased this range and said it'll be permanent, somebody said, why didn't we charge for that? It just comes off as really tacky on the heels of that report from days ago that talked about how Niantic made a ton of money off Pokemon Go Fest. Yike. DJ Rama S says, maybe Pokemon Go is on a different team from Ingress and both teams aren't talking to each other about COVID issues and support. Oh, probably, but it's still not a good look. Remember, we got one of those. I need a card for this, too. Remember, it's not about the news. It's not about the truth behind. It's about what is perceived by the folks,
or to
by
quote
the fans.
Eddie Izzard, It's like 75% of it is how you sound, 10% of it is what you say, and 5% is what you mean, I think.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Back to the stories we had show rolled, but both those things were big things we needed to get out. I think they're even bigger than last minute stories. So, all right.
Rob, I have no tears left to cry.
Thank you. Why don't we break?
We vibing.
Let's break free from this segment and go to our next story.
There is now, and I'm going into some kind of like obscure, kind of local news for where is this Wilmington? I don't know what Wilmington it is, but it's a Wilmington. But I wanted to bring it up because I think it's a really cool thing, and I think we need more of this happening. So there is a video game lounge in Wilmington called Retroscape. I'll have to look up more about that. But basically what they are doing is that they have a video game summer day camp for kids throughout all of July. And their goal is to get these kids acquainted with the classics. So it's sort of like video game history lab. So they go in and they give them a presentation about the decade, you know, of gaming. And so they did the 70s, 80s, 90s, and then they did the aughts. And then go over the console wars and then what was popular. And then they do trivia. And then they have the kids play those games. So it's pretty cool. It's a way of bringing the younger generation in touch with the origins of what they enjoy today.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what Wilmington this is.
Delaware?
North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think more people would have been excited to go to summer camp if video games were involved.
Same. I only had Bible camp.
Yeah, me too when I was younger. Yeah, yeah. Not quite the same. Well, they would do, I want to say maybe we did play video games when they would do like their lock-in stuff or whatever. I want to say.
Not us.
Yeah, which is interesting.
It was singing Jesus songs.
I want to say Atari 2600 games then were not very controversial. Like, you know, that all that stuff didn't come up till years later.
This was Alabama, though. We didn't have any of that. They wouldn't pay for it. They thought it was all the devil.
Oh, boy.
We would make dioramas out of toilet paper rolls and boxes and cotton. Cotton balls.
Yay for cotton Jesus. DJ Rama S in chat says, it's Wilmington, North Carolina, and actually links to retrowilmington.com. Cool. But DJ Rama S brings up, I had computer camp. It was kind of fun. I do remember computer camp being a thing when I was younger.
We didn't have that either.
Yeah. Maybe I did go. I did like a summer school thing that involved computer. That was probably the closest I got to it. But all right. Anyway. All right. One more story before the round table. And it is about
when I was a kid, we had to go into the swamp and catch some mud bugs and wrestle a gator. And we liked it.
This last story is about Dr. Mario, also a classic from the NES days. And maybe you were playing the more modern Dr. Mario World game.
I played it for a hot minute.
Yeah, well, guess what? You're not going to be playing it anymore. At least as of October 31st, because Dr. Mario World's game servers will be going down. Womp, womp.
Aww.
So that is it. Apparently, they're going to keep parts of the game on a site called Dr. Mario World Memories. What the fuck consolation is that?
I just want Dr. Mario. I mean, screw all that.
Anyway, it just goes to show a lot of Nintendo's mobile stuff has not been doing as well as they thought, because that game was only 2 years old. So it isn't exactly an old game at this point. So, wow, DJ Romance says, I play it for 10 minutes a day, give or take. Well, sorry for your loss. Hopefully, I'm sure there's clones of plenty out there, though. So I guess you'll have to find a decent one of those or something, or have the Switch version. I don't know. All right. Anyway, let's get into the listener roundtable. We are going to get your chats, your comments in chat, and the mailbag at participate@orangelaunchradio.com. If you want to call into the show, we can probably take one or two of those as well. Just head over to our green room in Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. Excuse me, but for now, Let's go to the mailbag. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com. Dark Sakura.
We have one, and it's long.
But it's good.
Hey, OLR, right around the last Steam sale, my husband decided to buy an Oculus Quest 2. When I heard that he got it, I immediately went on Steam and bought Moss, Beat Saber, Superhot VR, and Skyrim VR. Of those, Beat Saber is the only one I'm interested in. I love watching people play Beat Saber. Now, let me first give you some background. Like Bobby Blackwolf, I have a lazy eye. I had surgery to correct it when I was very young, so you don't see my left eye go out. However, the surgery caused me to slightly see double for most of my life. My glasses actually have prisms in there to help correct my vision. Growing up, I never had any issues with seeing 3D, or so I thought. It wasn't until about 4 years ago, after I did vision therapy, I found out that I was missing a huge part of what 3D is. Before the therapy, I always thought that 3D was just things coming at you. I never knew you could also see objects going in like a hallway or a room, so this therapy opened up a whole new world for me. Anyway, I played VR games at MAGFest, but those games weren't that visually intensive. There is something about the Oculus Quest 2 that makes it feel different. Maybe it's the no wires thing, the better resolution, or maybe I wasn't playing the right game when I was at MAGFest. I was so intimidated when I first put on the Quest 2 headset. I mean, before you even get into a game, you're on this white room that seems to go on forever. After having the vision therapy, seeing something like this is very intense for me. It still is for me at times. I have to take a deep breaths to calm down, and that is when I'm not even in a game yet. So getting to the games, I have only played a couple so far. Moss is so fascinating to me, especially when I can see down the hallways and objects moving in the background. When the mouse Quill looks up at you, it's just the cutest thing. Before I even start a page, I find myself just looking around for a couple of minutes just to take all of it in. I cannot wait for the sequel. I also have been playing a lot of Beat Saber. I love how I can be very active and have a lot of fun at the same time. I really haven't gotten into Superhot VR or Skyrim VR yet. Now you're probably thinking I probably should have emailed this to Bobby since he covers a lot of VR stuff. Let me get to one of the reasons why I decided to email this to OLR.
Yeah, send it to us.
Just the other day, my husband just bought a game called Synth Riders on the Oculus Store. This is a rhythm game very similar to Beat Saber. If you've never heard of this game, I really think all of you would love it. So slashing with sabers, you punch these colored spheres. There are also these holds that are very similar to the hold lines in DDR. When you hold down with one foot while you use your other foot to hit the arrows. In Synth Riders, you hold your arm... I lost my place. You hold up your arm and follow this curvy line with one hand, and you use your other hand to follow another line or hit the spheres. You do this while you are listening to a mostly 80s-style synthwave music in a Tron-looking world. At one point, I thought I was in a slow space mountain ride. This game is wild. You thought that Beat Saber was a workout. Synth Riders is on a whole other level. My body hurts after I am done. The music is so good that it makes me literally dance. The best part of this game is that custom songs are standard. You don't have to mod the game at all. You just drop in some files in your headset and the song appears in the song list. I highly recommend this game if you love rhythm games and want to become more physically active. Synth Riders is also available on Steam and is coming to PSVR August 10th. Since you have had less emails lately, I am hoping to write it more. I am planning on my next email to be about an old PC game that was based on a popular candy. I don't believe this game was ever talked about on OLR. Please look forward to it. Thanks, Zeba.
I love it. Thanks for the email, Zeba, and thanks for the game recommendation. I thought I might have played this game once, but no, I'm confusing it with something else. So I'm going to have to look into this.
I'm not going to do VR, so have fun.
I haven't played VR in a while. The bummer is I don't have PC VR. I have PlayStation. Mm-hmm. So if it's not on PlayStation, I probably won't get around to it unless... I do get to spend a day with Bobby Blackwolf outside of Dragon Con when I go on my trip. So maybe he'll fire up the PC at Blackwolf Manor and I can check this game out. So I'll have to file that away in my brain to do that. Check that out. So, because you know I'm going to want to play that Mandalorian pinball table. But I could come over to Jamie's house and play it there, get it out of my system. So we'll see.
Well, play over here and then play Bobby's because we have two different versions.
Ooh, and that would be fun to say I've played both.
Well, I mean... I've played multiple of, I mean, well, and I think next year they're going to go back to doing Golden State Pinball Expo.
Oh, uh-huh.
I hope. So But yeah, you're welcome to come over. We need to hang.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be good. All right. Thank you for the email, Ziba. Appreciate it. I was glad to hear about the experience too. As even though you kind of joked that maybe you should have sent it to Bobby because your experience was similar to him. We welcome those emails as well, of course. And I'm always interested to hear these gaming stories from other people's perspectives, because it's like the trypophobia stuff we talked about this week. I would have never known, you know, unless something kind of came up about it and somebody brought it to my attention. You know what I mean? So I think it's neat. All right. We're going to take a call. And so I have to do a little magic behind the scenes to make this work. And let's go to our green room. And we're going to bring in the caller. Hi, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Oh, it's the one and only DJ Ron Mess. How is everybody doing today?
It is so good to actually see you, Rama. How are you doing, Rama?
I'm great. I can tell that y'all got your gifts finally.
Yes. I just saw Jamie held hers up, and I sent you a picture of Mr. Smush with the patch. I don't have it here next to me, but yeah.
All right, and I have mine right here, so.
Nice. Oh, you got more than one.
They sent me an extra one purely by accident, so.
When you pay for it, you're allowed to keep the extras, I think. So that's awesome.
I love it.
All right. Plus, like I said, it does glow in the dark.
I got to try that part out, actually. So to what do we owe this fabulous phone call tonight?
Well, I want to talk about something real quick from last week's show something that she had mentioned. And I agree with what she said, but at the same time, I'm kind of hesitant about it. It's about unionizing the whole gaming industry.
Okay.
I agree, you know, that the gaming industry should be unionized. But my issue is that some unions can be so powerful that it can screw over, you know, the everyday person, you know. And sometimes that union can also screw over the people that put money into it. Because I used to be a union guy working in a supermarket. And yes, the union will take care of you. There's any problems, any issues, take it to your shop steward.
I was like that for the 2 weeks I worked at a grocery store.
Mm-hmm. So they will take care of you. I remember something had happened and they investigated and they looked at me like, well, we can't help you. Here is your last day. Here is your paycheck. And I'm just like, this incident was not even my fault. So how am I getting the blame? Oh, because I was on shift when it happened.
That's some bullshit.
You bring up a good point, though, is that we talk about, you know, union. It does have to be the right union, and it has to be done in a way where it's for the employees. That's also kind of why I do support the unionization of the industry, but I'm also of the mindset where I'm like, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen tomorrow. That is going to be a years long process. And also,
the unions need to be smaller, I think.
Right. And so, and kind of why I'm like, we at least need these types of like legal defense funds or things that at least bring the people together as a bridge to that, as the first step to kind of getting there, I think, is my a little bit more, I think realistic. I hate to say realistic approach, but I kind of think that's where it's coming from for me.
No, and I totally get that. And I remember, you know, like, and if I'm not mistaken, in the United States, there's less than 10 Starbucks locations that are unionized, and like 3 or 4 of them are in New York City. And like one of the big unions out here is the TWU 100 that handles the bus drivers and the subway. And when they went on strike, basically that brought New York City to its knees, because how are you going to get somewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but that's also the power of that union.
And that's true. They had a New York cripple for about a week. They went back to the table. Contracts were hammered out. Fine. Do what you have to do that everybody that's in the union gets their fair share. But at the same time, try not to, you know, put the screws to somebody, you know, who's not even remotely related to it. And I can say this much. If a gaming company is under a union and let's say, you know, they're at the table negotiating, and there's issues with the contract, this company goes on strike, the most that will happen is a bunch of games will not be released. For a lot of us, it's not a big deal because we have backlogs
We're used to it.
Yeah, basically. And for some, you got some who will be screaming and crying because they've been waiting for this game for so long. They want it now. And I'm like, look, I can wait another 3 weeks. Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. Like when Cyberpunk 2077 got delayed, I'm like, well, I got more time
to play. Needed to be delayed longer.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that game to drop to 19 before I pick it up. So
it does surprise me, especially when we're constantly making comparisons of the gaming industry to Hollywood and that, you know, that other artistic industry. And you look at Hollywood, there's unions up the wazoo that can bring that industry to its knees. Hello, do you remember the Writers Guild strike that pretty much killed the TV show Heroes that was pretty good? And then the Writers Guild strike kind of, you know, that all happened. And but I understand. I'm just saying that people remember it because of those types of things that happen. SAG-AFTRA, of course, is a huge one. Directors Guild, you know, you name it. Like, there's unions for it in the Hollywood space. So it is weird to me that in the gaming space, which is quite frankly a very similar industry, we don't have shit.
Yeah, and like I know I have friends that are in SAG-AFTRA, and it's interesting. Like, if they're since they're voice actors,
we have some mutual friends.
Yep, definitely. Some of them have to go under alternate names to do non-union stuff, you know? So it's kind of crazy.
So.
Yeah.
Another comment here from SJ100 Matt. I think some industries need more representation from, say, a union rep than other industries. Gaming has gotten to the point where it needs it. Folks are being taken advantage of hours and rights-wise, excuse me. If it means that some games take longer to make, then I'm all for it. At least the folks behind the game aren't sleeping under their desk working 6 to 8 hours a week. Preach.
And I agree. Nobody should be working that long. I mean, hell.
It's unhealthy.
I work in IT. You would think that it's normal 9 to 5. Sometimes we are there till late, you know? And thankfully, most places I've worked at, managers have come like, well, here's a voucher for food, or here's this, here's that. And I know people who have worked longer hours than I have who do on-sites, and they don't even get that type of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And thankfully, with the IT I do.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I'm doing what I do and not what you do, even though people.
but the funny thing is, I love what I do.
Yeah, and I love what I do.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm used to it. I'm like, I've had VIPs, VPs, SVPs yell at me over something that's not my fault. Fix it next to you. No, my manager's thanking me.
You're bestie.
Yeah. A long letter like this thanking me for the work that I did. I'm just like, just doing my job.
I like what Finara says, IT industry, you don't see the sun, you go in when it's dark and you get out when it's dark.
That sounds like one of my jobs. The office we worked in, we had the window covered up and a sign on the door that says you must call the help desk if you need anything. About 3 months in, we were told to take the sign down. Well, at least we could see the light of the outside windows, you know?
Yeah. Well, and then when you do what I do, it's like, I don't need to call the help desk. I do this for a living. And then you have to call the help desk.
I have been there working at another company. Well, we can't fix it here. We have to call retail IT to have them remote in, reboot it, and then we take it from there.
Yeah,
it's just funny when you work. And I can't say where I work. I would get in a lot of trouble. But like when you have your own IT group for what you do. And no, then you also have to work with engineers.
I completely understand. Since I no longer work for a company, I worked for about a year at Microsoft. So I completely understand.
Mm. All right. Well, now this is turning into IT venting session, which is okay. But
I'm sure both of us have stories. Right?
Yeah.
Don't make me get the pitos.
Rama, before I wrap up, do you want to give us a cheap plug for Anime Jam Session? Please do.
Sure, definitely. Check us out at Anime Jam Session Tuesdays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Tuesday nights. And this week we'll be talking about what happened at Animagic. The lines were up to 2 to 3 hours to get in. People were fainting due to heat stroke. People were bringing water. They had a special section for people who are waiting for the EMT. It looked like... imagine walking into AX 3 years ago with what's going on right now. That's how it looked inside.
Oh, well, did I ever tell you about Sacramento Pride 2019?
No.
They were overcrowded. Actually, a lot of the EMTs were being pulled away And people were having heat stroke left and right, but people were trying to stay to see Lizzo.
That, I was like, that was the Lizzo concert, wasn't it?
That was
the
Lizzo
that
concert.
That was way too big
that
of a
was
name.
When that I was had
way
to be taken
too big
out.
Of a name for that venue. Yeah.
But yeah, it's you have to anticipate the worst case scenario, especially at an anime con. I mean, please.
Yeah, I think this is like their first year. So, of course, mistakes will happen, but this is like...
This is mistakes that could really hurt people.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, tune in on Tuesday night for more. Rama, so happy to have you here as one of our first callers here in this revitalized call-in segment here on OLR. So
I like your shirt.
Big hearts for you as well. All
Here's
right.
mine.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Love it. All right, my friend. We'll see you next time. Thanks for being here. Yeah. Take care, buddy.
Stay fabulous.
You too. All right.
You know what that made me remember is Slidekick's old podcast, Fabulous Flames.
Oh, my husband was on that podcast.
Fabulous that's right.
Flames.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Alan was on that.
Yeah.
But it was the best name.
It really was.
And anytime someone says fabulous, I think of that podcast to this day.
It's really a shame it's not still around. I mean, none of those people play WoW anymore. And I'll spill tea. Their third host was such a negative Nancy. I couldn't stand it. Like, don't do a show about a game if you're just gonna shit on the game.
Do not piss in my cornflakes. Piss in somebody else's.
I loved hearing Alan and Slidekick talk about WoW and all that. It's gone too soon. Pour one out. I see Alan's in the kitchen, but he has his earbuds in, so he's listening to something else that's not this program.
Hi, Alan.
Oh, he heard that one. Hi. We're just talking about you. Alan, do you remember Fabulous Flames?
Yes.
He just made this face. He made this face. So I'm going to try to read. Sorry, podcast folks. I'm going to do this back of the camera. He made this face and went like this. Yes. All right. Anyway, let's see. I think we might have touched on our last-minute stories already, but I will ask Dark Soccer if there's anything else she wants to bring up here for last-minute stories.
Well, it's not really, like, a big news thing, but it's something I do want to warn my fellow DBD players.
Mm.
The disconnect penalty is back.
I noticed that on some streams I was watching. Yes, yes, for sure. All right. That's it. We're going to wrap up, get some final thoughts. But first, I'm going to tell you thank you so much for downloading Orange Lounge Radio or listening live and tuning into the show and supporting us. If you liked what you heard here on the show, please tell a friend or two. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the gamers aren't here, we can't share their voices. Like we just had Rama on a minute ago to share his voice, and we hope to get more of you in the coming weeks. So thank you so much to those of you that were here in chat tonight. And of course, everybody who downloads the show throughout the week on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, whatever it is you listen to podcasts on, thank you so much for putting Orange Lounge Radio in your rotation and being a part of the show. If you feel so inclined, you can always shop our merch store over at vognetwork.com/shop if you'd like to do that. And I think that's all I have to say for my cheap plugs. So thank you, SJ100 Matt, for sending that link out there. So thank you again. Final thoughts, Dark Soccer, I'll start with you.
I want people to stay with me tonight while I play because it gets really lonely playing by myself. Pretty please?
All right. I got to edit the show or it won't get done, sadly. I try to kind of have it running on my phone, though.
Well, that's fine. Rob, you get a pass.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I am going to go ahead and turn off my camera because I have to set up the OBS camera. So.
Yep. No worries. So take care. We'll see you next time, Dark Sakura. And then my final thought for tonight is, I don't know, I hope this thing heals up because there's an Ingress thing I want to go to Wednesday and I'd like to actually be able to socialize with people, except if I still have all these bandages on my neck. I don't know how easily possible that's going to be. So we'll just take it as it comes. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. I hope you all have a wonderful week. Happy gaming, whatever it is you decide to play. Take care, everybody. We will see you next time. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into vognetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.